What's poppin'? It's the Thursday Drew and Mike show in the DealsNitty.com studios. Am I looking in the camera now?
Yeah, we're not on Facebook Live yet.
Oh, okay.
At least Brandon can see everybody now, right, Brandon?
I sure can.
Was it really lonely when you couldn't see everybody on camera?
Yeah, a little bit. It's disappointing. I hear you guys talking with each other, and especially before the show, and I want to jump in.
You did a really good Helen Keller job of hitting those drops, though, not knowing what you were up against.
It's a good guess and check game.
Uh-huh.
I swear, I never really am aware of what camera is on. And I mean, when we just had one camera, and then we had switching cameras, and now I never know when we're on Facebook, when we're off Facebook, and it's very strange. But I now know that I can look into that camera and look people in the eye.
Nice.
Welcome, cameraman.
So, oh, that reminds me.
Louis
on Cameo. We need to get a cameo from Louis.
Okay.
Oh, God, yes.
And if anybody, I love Louis.
Me too.
If anybody gets one from Detroit, please mention that we plugged his cameo and how much we love him.
I still want to get a cameo from Meatloaf and tell him not to tell the story about how he became named Meatloaf. Oh, what? Brandon, breaking news on that?
Great update on that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I went to Meatloaf's cameo and I wanted to dump all the audio down. I wanted to make a montage because we heard him do it 6 times in a row, you know, say the exact same story.
Yeah.
And he made all of his cameos private.
What?
Oh, he knew that was coming.
Oh, he's avoiding the Vin Diesel treatment.
He's listening to the show.
Well, today I'll open first by saying that Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Water's everywhere. You can't avoid it. It will always win, which is why you need people like Emergency Response Services Incorporated, especially if you have a flood. Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Put it on your fridge. 877-JOB-DONE. And for the mold left behind by water, because a lot of times you don't discover that dishwasher's been leaking for a long time. You go, oh, God, this is terrible. Look at this. Oh, mold! Or storm damage, fire damage, or COVID disinfection, 877, job done. And what I wanted to mention out of the gate today is that the Tigers have won 6 in a row. They are a game over 500.
Whoa!
They are a half game out of the playoffs.
A half game?
A half game.
Really?
Well, everyone has not played the same amount of games. I think we've kind of established that.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So,
and you mean winning their division or wild card?
Wild card.
I thought they were 2.5. Oh, maybe 2.5.
Oh, in the division, maybe?
No, yeah.
Congratulations and go Tigers.
How exciting.
I'm just going by Brandon's prep said we were a half game out. And unfortunately, Jacoby Jones broke his hand getting hit by a pitch yesterday. That's the second starter we've lost because we signed, is it Crone? I barely know how to pronounce his name, and he was already out for the season.
Yeah.
Minnesota first baseman.
He was doing well, too. Yeah, he showed a lot of pop, and, you know, he and Scope really look like good one-year deals, and it's unfortunate that he goes down, but they're bringing up their 2014 first-round pick.
Oh, that would be 2014. Wait, is that an outfielder?
He's a fantastic center fielder, so he's going to fill that void. The big question is he going to hit? So we'll see. I mean, it's just a bummer right now.
I want to feel this guy's muscles.
We see Mize right now, and he hasn't been exactly what we thought he'd be. So
well, he's started 3 games. And Scooble looked good in his last outing. Mize actually had hit moments. I think Mize is going to be okay. Yeah. I was excited last night. Fulmer looked great. Fulmer.
My ass play better baseball than him.
Fulmer struck out 6 guys in 3 innings, and then Norris came in. Norris is pitching well, too, which is, I mean, it's strange the way this team is kind of sort of coming together compared to last year, so we'll see. Anyway, sorry about Jacoby Jones, but still 6 in a row. Let's see if they can keep the streak going. Also, sports news, Patrick Mahomes got engaged to that Brittany chick that
He
always seems to have her face in the camera.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah,
why is she verified on social media? Just for being
she's verified, and I'm not?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It just gets worse.
You need to get a hole and fill it.
I noticed that Charlie and ML are both listed as American journalist.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are you, would you be the American broadcaster?
American radio personality.
Radio personality?
That's what I'm upset about when I see all the other people who are American radio personalities, and I can't seem to get that. I can't even get verified on Twitter.
It's going to take.
I really don't know what the problem is with the Twitter thing. That seems like it should be easy.
Man, you're going to be livid if Vin Scully's already verified, since he just joined today at age 92.
Oh, my God.
Vin Scully. What in the hell is he
tweeting
about?
You need to be a wordsmith.
Yeah. The only other item sports-wise is that Kirk Cousins says that if he dies, he dies of COVID, and that he is ready to play football, and it's going to be survival of the fittest.
Yes, and but if you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask, he said. Although I think the most interesting...
He said he wears a mask.
I think the most interesting thing out of that interview he did with the guy from Real World Chicago... Bloop. Did you know that, by the way, that guy that did that interview?
What?
Remember Real World Chicago?
Yeah, I do.
One of those cast members is like a big radio personality now. He worked
for Jim
Rome. I can't remember his name. Whoever did the interview with Kirk Cousins.
Sports guy?
But one of the questions was like a lifelong dream of Kirk Cousins, and apparently it's to get Creed to play a private show for him.
Oh, what?
Apparently Kirk Cousins' favorite band.
More of a lifelong dream.
Well, you know.
That's the kind of, Kirk is a different kind of guy.
Somebody out there likes
Nickelback?
Him.
Yeah.
He's very religious, isn't he?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure Kirk Cousins is.
Oh, okay.
So
he wasn't being facetious about that?
I don't know.
Maybe he was. I mean, that would be a good joke if he was. But it sort of fits him. So
I think they're available.
lifelong dream. It wouldn't be hard at all to get. I mean, really?
Yeah, that's.
Anyway, Gretchen Whitmer spoke today, and no bowling, no gyms, no movies.
Wait, what?
Nope, not yet.
No, but she said. She said.
She said, "Oh, that we might."
Yeah.
I think that was speculation, but she says no, and you know, I got pissed last week, and she said, "I'm not going to be bullied into opening." And someone, I guess, asked her.
Yeah.
Who exactly was bullying her? And she said?
She said no one in particular, but she's like, I'm not being pushed around by Twitter and people that are demanding things. I don't know. Constituents, apparently.
So, okay. So she's just not going to open it because people are making too much of a thing out of it, I guess. But she did open casinos because she said Native American casinos haven't had any problem, even though they're at 100%. Well, does she know about the health clubs that are open? Because there are health clubs that are open, too.
Gyms.
Oh, you go bullier.
Why are you guys bullying me?
No, the more you say, the longer. It's like, until you guys completely shut up, I'm not opening anything up. Apparently.
God.
And I know. I just got so annoyed. She is a Teflon governor, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah, she really
because,
is.
You know, she was going off on Trump about COVID, and then I'm thinking, well, wait, what about the nursing homes? And it seems like, you know, maybe.
Didn't stick to her.
Well, I guess not. She really hasn't said much. And every time somebody queries about it, she always insists that, you know, she did nothing wrong. And somebody was pissed. Somebody sent me a screenshot. Somebody on Facebook said, why do you think she has a high approval rating? Well, because she does have a high approval rating.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying that I voted for her to have a high approval rating or that I wanted to have a high approval rating. I'm just not sure. You know, I'm not sure I would want to have dinner with Gretchen Whitmer.
Because she'd make you eat certain things that you didn't eat.
No, I don't know. I kind of thought I would like her.
Peas, Drew.
What don't you like about her? Just
I don't know.
Curiosity.
I can't even put my finger on it, but I just don't.
She's a woman.
I like her. No, I don't mind that she's a woman. I think she's good at what she does. I mean, for her to have a high approval rating and for her to just sort of be able to deflect so easily her flaws, like, you know, has anybody forgotten or remembered that she was going to fix the roads? That was what she ran on, and she had 2 years.
Yeah, they fixed a few by me.
Well, she had 2 years, and she didn't get very far. And not only that, she was busted in some pretty major bullshit from the campaign. She said, I'm going to raise the sales tax. And then,
that didn't work out well, didn't it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
It didn't work out very well, but it doesn't seem like anybody really cared. I mean, look, she's got a great approval rating, so whatever. But I'm not going to say she has a low approval rating because I think that she shouldn't have such a high approval rating.
Oh,
I'm just stating the fact.
Cindy on Facebook said you don't have to touch anything in a movie theater, but you touch everything in a casino, which is a good point.
I like you, Cindy.
Well, also, casinos.
You're just sitting in the movie theater, and you can in like.
Well, it's not as much about touching things. But you're I mean, all to that looking point, they should be open anyway.
You're all looking in the same direction. They have a plan.
You're people not supposed to talk during a movie. Some people
right,
do.
Right. And actually, the Japanese say the key is don't talk at all.
Ever?
Like, yeah,
that's
keep your
mouth government
shut.
Wants you to do, Trudy.
Say they're
they want
subway.
You to remain silent and complicit.
Quiet.
So they can control you.
You know how their subway has always been, you know, that's where they grab asses and stuff on their subway. It's all really crowded, and so it's kind of chaotic. But no one ever really talks.
When's the last time you were on a Japanese
subway?
No,
I remember
subway.
Those stories.
What are you talking about?
I remember those stories about the trains and stuff. Frottage. That's where we learned about frottage.
Frottage is very popular, apparently,
how come
on
just
public
there?
Transportation.
But there, it's frowned on to talk in certain places, and they say, you know, since people keep their mouths shut on the subway or the train, then they don't have outbreaks of COVID like that.
It's kind of a good rule. I like
not
that.
Talking in each other's faces.
Talk.
Yeah, don't talk.
Ever.
Shut up.
The Yellow Eye Center is back with us. $1,500 off, by the way, if you want to get LASIK and get 20/20 vision or better with Dr. Yaldo or multifocal implants for people 45 plus. If you want to see microscopic print and your far vision will be in high def HD. Those are very popular. People have had great, great success. And they, of course, are COVID ready. They've got all those safety procedures in place, and there is one thing you can do to better your life, and that is get lasting, crisp, sharp vision. And, you know, to see what Dr. Roche is doing, because honestly, I was sort of out of touch. I didn't really know how many people were going in there. I knew they were in business.
Yeah.
But as you said the other day, they're busy as hell. They're crazy busy because people are going, hey, I'm at home. I don't see anybody. It's a great time to do something.
Right. Yeah. A lot of recovery time if you need to, and yeah.
And that's recovery time, you know, is not real long with eye surgery.
Most
but
of those
it's
procedures,
just
yeah.
Nice when you have, you know, more options in a strange way. So get a free evaluation. Go call 1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Tell them Drew and Mike sent you for $1,500 off. And our friends at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInAD.com are at it again, selling cars like candy bars, piling them high, letting them fly, stacking them deep, selling them cheap. Emptying the lot while the weather's still hot is why the summer clearance event at Zot hits the spot. So let's kill the rhymes. It's deal time for the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month, or the 2020 Loaded Jeep Compass lease at just $155 a month. How about a new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk 4-wheel drive as low as $249 a month, and then of course the Jeep Wrangler. And in fact, it's a good time if you want to get what you want in the Jeep Wrangler. Go to Zot and order your badass Wrangler exactly the way you want it. See this and more at DealsInTheD.com. And Hall Financial is doing those mortgages, saving people lots of money. And the refis, too. More refis, I think, than anything, as people are getting incredible breaks on their interest rate. If you are over 3.5, you are crazy not to call 248-308-5000 or go to DavidHallMortgage.com/DrewAndMike or click the link on our website. Over 1,500 five-star reviews, and, of course, they average 19 days. Hall Financial, NMLS number 1467435. And, of course, they've sponsored the Hall Financial Hotline. And among others, I want to try Tommy Chong today because I saw the list of episodes that Spotify has dropped off of Joe Rogan. And there's Alex Jones and all these sort of alt-right people. And then Chris D'Elia.
Oh, yeah.
And Joey Diaz.
Hey, did you see the new D'Elia news today?
You know, I didn't see the news today, but all I know is every time I see his picture, he looks so creepy. Like, he's got that big Joker smile, and it's like, ew!
Well, now picture him with his dick just out of his pants, because a woman claims she drove him home from a show, and he just pulled it out. The pull-out move?
Oh.
He just pulled it out.
Hmm.
The pull-out move is played out.
What?
It is.
Aren't a lot of people doing it?
I don't know. Him?
Maybe that's why it's played out. People aren't doing it as much. That it's got played out. I think the nude move is going strong, though. I still think people are having effective... They're having effective relations with the nude move.
When have you ever heard of the nude move successfully working? We only hear of the nude move.
There are plenty
when a chick does it, the nude move would
I'll have a pile of email tomorrow. People, if you've had success with the nude move, please.
Males only, please. Like,
send me a little note. Photo, but. I mean, I'm sure it would shock people, but every now and then the circumstances are just right for the nude move, apparently, and I don't know. I've heard a lot of success stories with it.
Maybe I really have to read the room.
Maybe when it works, nobody talks about it, Brandon, because they don't want to ruin it.
Oh.
I just personally can't see anybody, me walking into a room butt naked and going, you like what you see.
Brandon, no, you got to have some swagger if you're going to pull off the nude move. I don't think you have the swagger to do it.
Yeah. Doesn't even work on my wife.
Well, you're married.
Why wouldn't it work when you're married? Why wouldn't it work when you're married?
It just they've
seen it before.
It changes. I don't know. It's crazy. Let's see. The nude move. What were we talking about before the nude move?
Tommy Chong.
Tommy Chong, yes. Let's try Tommy Chong. Let's just blow in a call. Why not? I love Tommy.
You know who else we should call
he's
today?
He's always been great.
We should call the balloon boy again that we talked to.
See if he's jealous.
Yeah, get his take
on Blaine. Yeah, that was, you know, Trudy and I were watching that before the show. I couldn't turn it off. I mean, we must have watched 30 minutes of it, at least.
Fascinating. It was cool. It really was. It's best stunt yet.
Tommy!
Yeah?
Hey, it's the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. How you doing, man?
Hey, good. What's up, man?
It's so good to hear your voice. I'm so upset because I was just reading about Joe Rogan's Spotify. You know, he moved his show over there, and they were describing all the shows that are no longer in his archive, and there was no Alex Jones and all these alt-right people, and then it said, and Tommy Chong. And I was like, Tommy Chong? Why would they not have him in the archive? Did you do something? Did you do something terrible on the Joe Rogan show?
Well, I was a little bit heavy on Trump.
Oh! Okay. Wait, Tommy, are you a Trump fan?
No, the other way.
No, the opposite.
Yeah.
The opposite.
I don't understand why that would, it seems like that would.
And also, I was a little bit out there with a lot of things, you know, like I told him that the pussy was the fountain of youth.
Speaking truth, my man.
Well, Tommy, how could anybody pull somebody out of an archive for that? I mean, nobody can argue with that, can they?
I don't know. I'll have to ask Joe about that. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I went a little off the rails a lot with Joe, especially with the gun thing. You know, like he's a gun rights guy, and I'm the opposite. You know,
you're a peace guy.
But there's a lot of people that feel that way. I mean, did you really feel? Were you surprised to hear that you're not in the archive, or were you going, I can figure that?
No, I just you just told me the first. You were the first to tell me that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, no, I just found out from you, yeah. No, I don't know. I have no idea. You know, I mean, I'm just me, you know. Well, Joe was a big, I think.
You're not just you.
It's probably the gun thing, because, you know, he's a big gun advocate, you know, and I'm the opposite, you know.
But Joe,
I had asked Joe, I said, what do you own that's worth someone's life, you know?
Yeah. And what
is it that you have that you would shoot somebody for?
Weed.
Are you kidding? There's
actually,
so much weed around now. You know, you can have all my weed. If someone come and said, "Hey, give me your weed, give me all your weed," I'd give it to him without even asking.
Well, wait, what's that hallucinogen that he likes? Maybe it's that or
ayahuasca.
No, I don't know. I'll have to ask Joe myself. You know, because. I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm just not used to this highly political Tommy Chong. You're so, you know, usually you're so chill that I just wasn't expecting that to be the reason at all.
It could be. I don't know.
I mean, have you turned over a new leaf, Tommy? Have you typically made a lot of comments about the president?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm totally opposite Trump, you know. I've been on Trump's butt since he got elected. Gross. Even before.
Gross.
You know. I was the one that thought that he was going to be impeached. You know, that was the scenario. I thought that you know they were going to use that as an excuse to get rid of the guy. But instead, you know, all the other people, you know, they went.
Well, Trump paid him off. That's what I see.
well, maybe you're alt-left and these other guys are alt-right, and so I just didn't...
I think you're missing a big question here, Drew. Tommy, do you care that you're not part of the archive that got moved over to Spotify?
Not a fucking bit. Yeah.
It doesn't affect your life.
not even a little bit. Joe was, you know, because of Cheech and Chong and because of my comedic standing in the world, you know, he's a stand-up comedian, you know.
Sure.
And so I'm one of the old guys in that racket, and so Joe always kind of looked up to me, I guess.
He should. You know? That is a stoner.
He's a bodybuilder. I'm a bodybuilder. We had a lot in common.
How much you bench?
Tommy's a bodybuilder?
How much you bench, Tommy?
Oh, I'm not a heavy bencher. One time, you know, I could do, maybe 150, maybe, you know, on a good day.
Wow. You know, you are like Tommy, you're like a walking poster for the wonders of pot, because, you know, you sound great. You're hearing us perfectly. You sound totally cogent every time we talk to you.
Shelby, and too. Shelby looks amazing.
Shelby does look great.
Oh, she is amazing. She is amazing.
Can I ask?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
How much younger is Shelby than you, Tommy?
Physically or age-wise?
Physically. Let's start with physically.
Physically, about 30 years younger.
She looks fantastic. But how about chronological age?
She's not. She's about, let's see, 10 years.
Okay. So you don't seem to be stealing youth from her, but she is a fountain of youth for you. I mean, what a great combination.
Oh, no. She's amazing. And you know, it's not like that she caters to my every dream. She does. She does. She does, but she doesn't know. No, Shelby. Her biggest problem is that you can't love her too much. If you get too attracted, she's been beautiful all her life. And so when she was a teenager growing up, everybody would fall in love with her, and that would turn her off, you know, guys. And so the only reason she went with me when I first met her is because I was married. And so I was like her side thing, you know. And so you know, I had no power, you know, like no ownership over her whatsoever. No such thing as going steady or anything like that, you know. She did what she wanted to do, you know. She wanted to go, you know, a date on somebody, you know. We were in love. We've been in love since the first day we met.
All right, Tommy, are you saying that you play hard to get with Shelby, that's what you have to do even at age?
I have to. I have to.
Wow.
Oh, if I show too much affection, you know, I'd get kicked out. She'd leave me to, or either that or she would take advantage. She tried that. She tried to stick me in a fucking sitcom just recently.
What? You know? What? Wait, explain.
Yeah, I was getting all teary-eyed because of my age and everything, you know. And so next thing I know, her and her friend wanted to produce a sitcom. And her friend said, who was in the business, you know, do you think Tommy would be interested? And, of course, I thought it would be Shelby and I in the sitcom, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's what they led me to believe. But as it turned out, Shelby had just a little walk-on role, and it was all me doing shit that they wrote, you know.
So
I don't do that with anybody, you know.
Well, that's a lot of work too, to be in a series, isn't it?
Oh fuck, it's the worst. Are you kidding? You know, and then I thought, okay, well, I'll let these people write it, then I'll come in there and fix it like I usually do. You know, that was so then when I tried to fix it, next thing you know, the writers, oh, they couldn't meet with me today, couldn't meet with me tomorrow. They got my ideas. Oh, maybe in season 3 or something.
Oh,
some bullshit thing, you know. They're putting me off. And so I called up the producer. I had a little heart to heart with him, and that's when Shelby told me, "No, don't blow this. If you blow this, And I'm looking at her like I'm looking at her for the first time. What? Blow what? You know when it comes to anything Tommy Chong creative, you know, I am the sole boss in this shit.
But she's been in the show. She's been in your show for a long time.
Well, so what I did, I had a meeting with the producer, and I read the riot act to him, you know. And the guy just walked out, you know, his head spinning. Because I told him, you know, I said, you know that phrase, the buck stops here?
Yeah.
I said, well, the buck starts here.
Oh, I like that. That's genius.
Tommy, you've always had a knack for that one. I mean, I know all those bits with Cheech and Chong. It seems like Cheech would be talking, and Tommy would have the one line, and you just steal the whole thing, man.
Yeah, Dave's, well, that's it.
Dave's
that's
not it. Here.
Yeah, and so that was the end of that. And so, oh, she was mad at me for weeks.
Wow. Boy.
A couple of weeks, oh, yeah. And well, that's when I realized, oh, you know, I'm showing too much. I'm showing too much affection. And so then I pulled that one back, man. And, no, it's a whole different thing now. But we're fine now. But, I mean, she's so talented. She is she's painting now. She's an artist.
Oh, is that right?
And she's blowing people's minds.
Well, yeah.
She takes lessons, and the teacher says, okay, this is what I want you to do. And then she does her own version of it. And they're doing it over the internet. You know, they're not face to face. You know, they're sheltered. You know, in place, and they're doing it.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah. So the guy Shelby sends hers in, and the teacher goes, "Wow, that was his comment. It's not. You need more of this, more of that." His comment was, "Wow."
Are you sure he's not hitting on her? Maybe that.
Well,
yeah,
that
people
too.
Fall in love with her.
No, that too. But no, he was just. No, and that wasn't the first time. One time I was up at, you know, Mo Austin, you know, the guy that owns everything, Warner Brothers Records.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, sure. He owns the biggest house on the hill where I live in the Palisades. It's a house on the hill. And so we're at dinner with his architect, the guy that built it or rebuilt it. And, big time architect. And Shelby had just started painting, and so I showed him, you know, Shelby doesn't do it, but I on my phone, I showed him a picture of Shelby's art. And he was, no, I told Shelby, show him your art. So she did. And he's holding the phone and staring at it. So long, it was uncomfortable. So Shelby tried to get it, take the phone back, and he goes, no, just a minute.
Whoa.
Then he looked at her, and he says, do you have any idea what you've done?
Whoa.
And Shelby goes, no. He says, you know, like I've got years of art. I can't do that, what you've done. And what she does,
I think these people are falling in love with her, Tommy. Yeah. I really do.
No, it's totally that.
She did a portrait, and what she does, she captures the expression in the eye. That's the hardest thing to do in painting.
Tommy, can we see Shelby's work anywhere? Is it on our website?
Yeah, I want to see it.
I think she's probably got it online. Shelby Chong, she's probably got some of it online.
Okay. You know? I wanted to ask you, what label were you guys on for Cheech and Chong, Big Bamboo, and Basketball Jones, and all that stuff?
Ode. O-D-E. Ode Records.
What? Really? What? Now, is
that a division
of
something?
It's A&M.
Okay.
Of A&M Records.
Yeah.
Huh. It was a what do you call it? You know,
Herb Alpert. Wasn't that Herb Alpert?
Herb Alpert.
Well, Herb Alpert. It was Lou Adler's. It was Lou Adler's old records, but he was in the A&M building.
And Big Bamboo sold a million copies. Didn't it go platinum?
It's still selling.
Is it? It's funny as hell. It stands up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the record's doing incredible.
If you can you buy the vinyl? Can you still buy the vinyl?
As far as I know.
Okay. Well, who would I ask, Tommy?
I have no fucking clue. Hey, listen, I sell weed, and I don't know where to get my own weed.
Yeah, you know, Tommy, I noticed on your site, you know, you have all the states you can buy it in, but it's not in Michigan yet. When are your products coming to Michigan? Do you have any idea?
It's coming. It eventually should be there. We've got a representative there.
Slow down.
There's a little town outside of Detroit. I can't remember what the name of it is right now. But anyway, they gave me the key to the city, and I can't remember the fucking name.
Wait. This is very important. What happened to that key to the city? Where is it at?
It was symbolic, man.
Oh, okay.
It's at the store, the head shop, right? Where you
It's
go?
In Tommy's house somewhere.
Hazel Park. Come on,
it sounds like Royal. Right. It sounds like Royal Oak, or what would be hip enough?
Not Royal Oak.
Ferndale.
Not Royal Oak.
Hazel Park.
It wasn't Ann Arbor where the hash bash is.
Hazel Park.
It's Hazel Park. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hazel Park.
Yeah.
BDTs, right?
Yeah. BDT? That's the one.
How do we put that together? Tommy, I don't know if you remember, but we were at the hash bash with you, and we had you on the air at the hash bash, broadcasting live, and I think it was the year after. We had the guy, we had the editor of High Times on, and he had actually informed us that he had sent you a first class ticket to the hash bash the year before, and you didn't show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was High Times.
Yeah.
You see?
It was High Times.
They stiffed me a bunch of times.
Oh, so you stiffed him back.
Oh, payback.
So it was one of those things. Yeah, they had me go to Amsterdam a bunch of times, and they offered me money, but they did the old, I guess it used to be a Jewish move, but it's a Persian move now.
Is that a fact?
So it's not Jewish anymore. It's Persian, where they offer you, like 10 grand. And then when you get there, they say, we didn't do as well as we expected. So will you take five?
Yeah,
wow. I think they would pay you in front. I mean, you were certainly worthy of appearance fees.
That was a problem with me and the weed, especially High Times. I never held them. I did all that for the publicity, which didn't hurt.
Yeah. Oh, no, and you were great at the hash bash. We had an absolute ball. But what about, Tommy, can you tell us how the thing about Big Bamboo that was so cool, besides the content, was that giant rolling paper?
Yeah.
It was like a big giant rolling paper in there. How was that a problem to produce that and get that in the album?
No, it was, the artist that did it, you know, the designer, the art designer of the album.
Oh, okay.
Craig Braun was his name. He was the same guy that did the tongue for the Rolling Stone album.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, he was on a roll, and so Lou Adler went to him, and he came up with that concept, the Big Bamboo concept.
Wow.
Pretty incredible, wasn't it?
Absolutely. No, that was people still talk about. I'm talking about right now.
I have had people call and tell me that they actually rolled a joint with that.
Yeah,
and tried to smoke it.
Yeah. When we used to sign them, there'd be a little corner ripped out of some of them, like a little joint sized corner ripped out of the
You told us this story once before, and I have to ask again because I'm such a huge fan of both of you. You were recording Basketball Jones, and somehow you got George Harrison to come down and play the lead guitar on it?
Yeah. Oh, Lou Adler. Lou Adler got him. They were all... George had his Dark Horse...
Dark Horse Records. Sure.
It was in the same building as us. And so there would be a time... You know, everybody would be in the studio at one time or another. Carol King played piano.
Oh gosh, she's so
Oh
good.
Yeah, we had a star-studded cast. And George heard the record, and he says, "I suppose it's funny."
That's so Beatlesque.
Well, it certainly makes George sound cool that he would come down and do that, which I like to.
Oh,
I like to
no,
hear.
George and I hung together more than any other Beatle.
Really?
George, we had the same kind of hippie friends and outlook and that.
Yeah.
And I was at a party one time with George, and I'm
We're passing the joint around. All of a sudden, there's a third party. We look over, and it's Wally from Leave It to Beaver.
Tony Dow.
Tony Dow.
Oh, that's hilarious. Did George know who he was?
George?
Yeah.
Know who I was or Tony?
No, did he know Wally?
You know who Tony Dow was? Because I wasn't sure Leave It to Beaver would necessarily be in his...
I don't think he did. but at the time, Tony was a sculptor. He was an artist.
Oh, wow.
Of course not.
And, yeah, he's a pretty hot artist. Well, but he was right there smoking away with the rest of us.
Oh, how cool is that? See, I wouldn't think he'd make the cut for that party by then, but it must have been a cool party.
Well, maybe he snuck
in. I mean, I like Tony. Well, he's really nice.
The party was out in Malibu, and the guy that owned the property, his name was Louis. Louis B. Marvin III.
Wow.
Louis B. Wow. Marvin III. Oh, he was from a very wealthy family in New York. He grew up on a yacht.
Nice.
Man. See how,
look at that memory.
See how
Tom?
Weed
Jesus.
Just destroys your memory? It's amazing.
And, yeah. And he was very Jewish and very,
or Persian?
Very weird. He made a fortune by ripping off perfume companies. Huh. Like he would reverse engineer all the perfume.
Uh-oh.
And then he would take his brand around and sell it at tenth
Much
of
less.
The price
yeah.
to
right.
all the to all the sororities and all the colleges and universities.
Wow, what a scheme!
And then he played the stock market. Hmm. He came to L.A. with a couple of million bucks, and back there, that was in the 50s. And he showed up, and he could have bought for $300,000. He could have bought the biggest. Big mansion in Beverly Hills or 10 acres in Malibu. And he bought 10 acres of the most prime property in Malibu. And it's on a mountain overlooking the ocean. It's got the most incredible view. And what he did, he stayed off the grid. He got permits to build out like barns and outhouses and sheds. And he put a trailer, a big trailer on the property, totally off the grid. Hmm. And he got a big water tank on his property.
Wait, really?
Then he had a water truck. He would go down and get water and fill up his own tank.
Wow.
And,
how bizarre.
And he's dead now. He died.
I'm sorry.
But his place was cool enough to attract you and George Harrison and Tony Dow to his party.
Well,
so he did something right.
And that was just the tip of the people that would come. Wow. He had anybody that was everybody.
Wow.
And he had he bought gates. He was so eccentric. He bought the inside of a church.
Whoa.
That was going to be demolished, and with all the marble and that, and so the one building that he built there, where he had his music, he had an organ there. It was the inside of a church with a stained glass window.
Whoa.
And he's, like I said, he's Jewish, and this is a Catholic church he bought. And then he had a big the church bell. He put that on his. He's got these gates. The gates were like 20-foot high gates coming into his property. There's a winding road, and then there's the set of these steel gates. And then when you got to the gates, which were open, you could go in, and then he'd bring you in. The church bell would bring you in.
Whoa! Good times back then.
Well, I can't let this.
Oh my God! And listen to this. He was at Woodstock, and he rented a limousine with a removable top, you know.
Yeah.
And he was an animal collector. He collected animals, and he had some kind of giraffe or something.
Oh,
yeah, Woodstock.
God.
Sitting in the limo with the head sticking out of the thing.
Wow, that guy was
This is Louis B. Marvin III, and that's the parties that George and I used to meet at.
Holy shit. Now, you said George is the Beatle you hung out the most. I can't let that go.
Yeah, right.
Does that mean you hung out with Ringo? And I'm going to guess John, if you hung out with Ringo, too.
Well, I hung out with Ringo a few times, but he was always on rehab.
Paul.
He was always rehabbing.
Yeah, he drank a lot. You know, he did drink a lot then.
He was a drinker, and he was rehabbing. I was in a room at Lou Adler's house, and I lit up a real stinky joint, you know, back in the day. One of those Mexican, you know, just be glad you got it kind of
very
weed,
pungent,
you know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I look at the end of the bed, there's John Lennon was sitting on the floor at the end of the bed, not on the bed, on the floor at the end of the bed. Huh. And so I walked over and had, you know, offered him a joint, and John said no, that he was having immigration problems at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And so he couldn't get high.
Was he with May Pang?
Huh?
Was he with May Pang or Yoko?
Yeah. Yeah, he was with May Pang. Well, it was before Yoko.
The Lost Weekend.
Then I'm after John. I turn around. Rod Stewart walks in, and he walks right over to the mirror. And he starts messing with his hair. You know the hair.
Yes, of course.
And so I walked over and offered him a joint, and Rod turned me down too.
Oh man,
Rod Stewart, he, because of his voice, the singer. You know.
Yeah,
and I think it was because the joint was so smelly that I don't think.
We got to download Tommy's brain somehow. I mean, there's so much in there, Tommy. Holy shit.
Oh, man. I've had a life, man. The same party. The same party. I had, you know, it was the kind of celebrating that we signed with Lou Adler.
Mm-hmm.
So Lou Adler had the star party there. And so we walk out there. And I had my mom and dad. Oh, no, just my dad came. Not my mom.
Really?
My dad came to the party. And he was in line to get the food, and the English guy in front was, you know, schmoozing, talking to everybody, and not moving. And Pop got was a little upset, you know, because it was Mick Jagger.
Wow.
God, that sounds like a hell of a party.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, Lou Adler had the best parties, man.
Hey, Tommy.
He had anybody that was anybody was there.
Was your dad proud of your career with Cheech and all the success, or was he like, oh, I wish you'd done something else, Tommy?
Oh, no, no, no. My dad, he was a truck driver. You know, he'd been in the Second World War. He's Chinese.
That's right.
He was about 5'3", you know, little tough little guy. He was really a sweet guy and a real ladies' man. You know, he was a charmer.
And is that so?
That's where I got it from.
Of course.
No, my dad went to one of our shows, and after the show, he said, "You talk kind of rough, son." You talk kind of rough.
Man, I'm so glad we called Tommy to find out about this missing episode that he doesn't even care about.
Yeah, no one.
Tommy, you ever coming our way again? I mean, once this COVID thing is over, hopefully doing any shows.
Oh,
or you and Shelby running around still?
Oh, no, you guys, I don't know if you heard, but Cheech and Chong are opening up dispensaries all over America.
All right.
Well.
Yeah, we got approached finally by the right people.
That's
and it's
cool.
Going to be on the stock market. It's going to be public offering.
Uh-huh. How corporate of you.
We got a lot of people investing already. You know, you had to raise a lot of money. We've got it. And we're going to be opening Cheech and Chong dispensarias. That's what we're calling them.
Nice.
Dispensarias. Boy, you didn't think your ship already came in, but look at that. Your ship coming in right now. How cool is that?
Oh, right now. Hey, listen. You know, the next move will be sell out to the big, you know, conglomerate for many, many, many millions.
Take them for everything.
Oh, are you kidding? Well, there's enough around. You know, there's enough to go around. And the thing is that when I get my money, man, I know exactly how I'm going to spend it.
How's that?
More weed.
Oh, I'm going to help the world. Uh-huh. You know what we need around the world?
More weed.
No, yeah, that for sure. We need amusement parks.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm down.
I'm in.
Think about it. We're going to have robots to do all the manual jobs.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so the only thing left is tourism.
Yeah. Comedy.
And tourism when you have tourists, you need amusement parks for them to go and amuse themselves with.
Sure. Yeah.
And so what I want to do, and to learn. And so what I want to do, I want to create Hippie Land. it'll be like a place for homeless, you know?
That's cool. Great idea.
Wait, is this an amusement park for homeless people so it cleans up for the tourism?
That's where the tourists will come.
Okay.
You see? The big cities are going to be a thing of the past.
It looks
right
that
now,
way.
With COVID, you know, with that going on, people are, you know, they can't be around a lot of people in elevators and that. And we only did that out of comfort because we had to be near our job. And then everybody's finding out, hey, I can work out at home.
Absolutely.
You know?
Hey, I got to ask you something. Tommy, I have a house in Phoenix that I rented out a long time ago, and I just ended up hanging on to it. Because I worked in Phoenix, and I moved here. But anyway, I went on Zillow a couple of weeks ago, and it had gone up in price by, I don't know, like 20% in 3 or 4 months. And I heard that was because, oh, everybody's leaving L.A. and San Francisco, and they're moving to the desert.
Right.
Is that really happening? People are leaving L.A.?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. The cities are almost like deserted, except for the homeless tents in front of them.
Well, when should I sell my house in Phoenix, Tommy? Should I hang on to it for a while?
I think you hang on to it, rent it.
Okay.
Hey, well, just rent it out.
Well, tell me when the last person's left L.A., because that'll be the time to sell.
Listen, they're coming to L.A., but, you know, the downtowns, and like Trump's apartment buildings, they're all empty. A lot of them, you know, the New York
New York and Chicago is insane right now, too.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Because they're too wealthy to live in town, you know.
Well, and
so they go to their country estates. That's where they're going.
Right.
And then the people that don't want to pay high rents to live in a city where you can't do anything and where everything's getting destroyed, they just don't. They don't want to be part of it anymore.
Tommy, we
I mean, why would you? You know,
no, I wouldn't.
And a lot of people are like my son. You know, he got a van and you know he went down to Mexico. Him and his wife and son. They sold their house in Boulder, and now they're moving up to Tofino in British Columbia, very wild beach. Ooh. And I'm going to buy property over there too. It's beautiful. Yeah, everybody's going into the woods.
Tommy's
got their heads together. Yeah.
How is it? I got to smoke more pot. Tommy has twice as much energy as I do, and he's got 20 years on me.
And Tommy, you performed in the Masked Singer as the Pineapple in the one.
How about that, huh?
I got to say, it was a little obvious it was you, but maybe that's because we knew who you were.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people didn't know. They had no idea. Oh, no, and a lot of people thought I was Cheech because they get us mixed up. You know?
That makes sense.
Did you mix it up with the other people on that show at all? Or was it
we were quarantined. We couldn't talk to anybody.
Oh, really?
When in between acts, he would put you in a little...
Isolation booth.
We weren't allowed to talk to anybody, see anybody, anything.
It was
the worst experience ever.
I was gonna say, there were a lot of interesting people on that show, from Antonio Brown to Donny Osmond.
Oh, yeah. It was no fun. The only fun of being Tommy Chong is when people can see you.
Of course.
Other than that, it's no fun, man. you couldn't talk to anybody. There was no one to flirt with, no one to mess with.
Now, did you pick that song, or did they pick it for you?
Yeah, they gave me, you know, choose one, and that was the one they wanted me to do.
Oh, okay. You know,
what song was it?
I Will Survive.
Oh.
I Will Survive, yeah.
Yeah.
It was doable. You know, I survived it. You know, I got by it.
And we know you'll survive, Tommy. Hey, Tommy, listen, we got to run, but I'm so glad we called. It's so much fun to talk to you, and
no,
you know we'll call
back.
Let's
talk for another half hour. Come on.
Hey, we will. We'll call you in another week or so.
Next time an episode of yours is missing, we'll call you.
Anytime you want to call, you can call.
Thanks, Tommy.
Okay, guys.
We love you, Tommy.
You're the best.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. There he is. If I had known for just 1 second, you'd be back to bother me. So now go, walk out that door. Yeah, just turn around now. You're not welcome anymore. Oh, I can tell that's Tommy.
Oh, you can tell it by his voice. He's got such a recognizable voice.
Definitely a professional singer. He's a pretty good singer.
Who said
Definitely a professional singer.
Nicole Scherzinger.
I bet you what? I think it's probably... Maybe it's Barack Obama. No?
Yeah.
I think
maybe
it's Donald
Brad
Trump.
Pitt.
Wow.
The judges are the worst part of the Masked Singer show by
right.
a mile.
Yeah.
That
I can't
is
get
America's
over.
Number one show, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, the guy that owned that property was Lou
Adler.
Lou Adler.
Marvin. Lou Marvin.
Lou Marvin.
Lou B. Marvin, wasn't
second?
It?
Second?
Yeah.
Louis
Holy
B.
shit.
B.
That was...
Marvin the third, and I Googled him, and I could only really find him in a couple articles.
I couldn't either.
That's like the biggest download of information I've ever heard about anyone.
If it's true.
Tommy's usually pretty close to the truth, I will say.
I know. But it's funny, the guy has no footprint online.
No.
That's
mysterious. Bizarre. Hey, by the way, I Will Survive. Have you heard who's now using that song?
It
bums
Trump.
Me the fuck out,
oh, no.
But it's good for Gloria Gaynor.
Yeah.
Facebook. They've made it like a...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, because of COVID?
Please.
We're the best. We're in it together kind of a
no,
thing.
We're not in this together.
People. Oh, well,
they're not in anything with me or you or anybody.
I know. They're
good God.
Oh, by the way.
Annoying.
Hey, thanks, Facebook.
We're off.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I got to mention the Royal Oak Downtown Development Authority because they have spilled all these Royal Oak bucks out to you and you've been spending them. It's just been such a great program because we've been dropping 100 to 200 people into Royal Oak every day for 2 months now. And the merchants have done so well. And there's still a lot of bucks out there. And hopefully you'll remember to go spend them when you have the chance. And don't forget, there's a Lyft offer for Thursday through Sunday, $10 off. If you're just out of town, take a Lyft. It'll probably be virtually free to get you there and get you home. $10 off going home. The code is GO2RO. And that'll get you $10 off there and back. It's 5 till 2 a.m. Thursday and Friday. And then, of course, it's 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. So if you want to go hang out for the afternoon or lunch or whatever, get a free ride. And then all the parking. Oh, the parking was free through August. I wonder if that's all the facilities. I know Matt will tell me.
You know the best way to find out? Go to Royal Oak.
Yes. VisitRoyalOak.com. You mean visit Royal Oak?
Oh, go to Royal Oak. Go to the city and see if you can park your car.
Well, it'd be nice if we told them. I'm sure Matt will inform me immediately, first thing tomorrow. But yeah, anyway, it's been a great, great, great experience for... It's really worked out well for Royal Oak. That I mean, honestly, that the city has done very, very well in that, and incredible support. And speaking of support, let's support Zot Ford and the giant summer sales event. Wait, did I just? No, I did Jeep Chrysler. Yeah, okay. The giant summer sales event is winding down. They've got the new Ford models below $200. There's just a few of them, but they do have them. So if you want to take advantage of leasing new 2020 Ford Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, F-150s and the all-new Rangers, all under $200 a month. You got to set your ass into Zot Ford and Holly in the next day or two, period. And by the way, these are not watered-down, bust-out rides. Zot Ford selection is full of fat-loaded whips and lots of all-wheel drive and 4x4 options. You know the routine. Get to Zot Ford and Holly. Tell the hottest sales staff in Oakland County any or all of us sent you. Drew, Mark, Trudy, Brandon, and let the shower of low prices and excellent service begin to flow. I mean, literally, numbers will be just drowning you. Low numbers. Until then, peep their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. Okay. Wow, Tommy Chong. Oh, my God, that was incredible.
Blown. Wow.
What a day this was. You know, I mentioned watching the David Blaine thing, which, you know, David Blaine hasn't done anything in a long time.
You mean David Blaine Ascension?
Yes, yeah. David Blaine Ascension. And he did, we've talked about this, the taking all the balloons that are... filled with helium, mm-hmm. and just having just enough of them to get off the ground, and he had more than enough. He also had weights, and he gets off the ground, and then he gradually drops a weight at a time and goes a little higher, a little higher, a little higher, and I didn't know he was going to 24,000.
What's he doing up there?
24,400 feet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was incredible.
That was intense.
So he had oxygen.
It's kind of boring, but yeah.
Well, you know,
I mean,
it was,
David Blaine is a boring person.
He is boring. It was in the desert, though, so there were some nice landscapes. I mean, the
desert.
Yeah,
no, this was probably his best event. Trudy and I were talking about that before the show. Yeah. way better than him standing on that platform in New York or being buried alive where he doesn't move, doesn't do anything.
Or holding his breath for 2 years. It takes too long.
2 years. What else has he done? Has he done anything else?
You know, the one where he was on the thing, when he's, you know, how far up in the air was he? Just sitting there?
Oh, the one in New York, yeah.
That was so dumb. It was like, how boring. And people are just going and yelling at him and making fun of him.
The best part was, are you talking about when he was in the box in London? That was a different one, yeah.
No.
Frozen. Remember when he was frozen?
Yes.
Oh, that too?
Oh, that's right. He got frozen.
but this was...
Buried Alive was the first one. Then he had Frozen in Time. Then Vertigo. That's when he was on the pillar in Bryant Park. Where he just had to stand on that pillar.
That's what I meant. That was the one that was just boring. It was like, I don't care if you can do that.
He said,
I don't want to see it.
He said, I suffered severe hallucinations in my final hours of the stunt, causing the buildings and structures to look like animal heads. so fake.
By the way, David
Remember Blaine, how he jumped off, too? He jumped into a bunch of cardboard boxes?
Yeah. What I mean. That was like the most interesting part about it, and it was ridiculous.
It's like, where'd they get a bunch of Amazon delivery boxes? They stacked them up. Some asshole had to put them all together just so David Blaine could jump into them.
It was exciting, though. I was really transfixed by the whole thing. At first, it was kind of slow, but then, man.
Slow. It took a little longer than I was hoping. And I didn't know that was his daughter he was talking
to. Daughter.
Like,
I thought
who is this brat he's talking to all the time? And I fast forward. Every time I saw the brat, I fast forward.
Let's see. I think
I was
with
you.
I think she jumps in here.
Because they had a split screen of the brat on the ground and him in the air.
This is before when they're. Why do I not have sound?
And she was asking really dumb questions, like, when are you coming back?
Exactly. They don't listen to each other. So.
Okay. Why don't I have sound?
Here's the pre-prep before he even gets on. And Blaine acts like he has no idea what he's supposed to do, and everyone breaks it down to him.
He seemed a little clueless at times, and I didn't understand what that was. I thought it was maybe because he was so high he was losing his brain power.
No, because he's like that on the ground.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Just wait till Luke calls us.
Here comes his daughter. She's holding a balloon. They're in the hangar. He has his balloon.
I wish she would have flown away.
But see you like in how many?
We're walking out together.
So she already wants to know, like, how long is this going to take?
It's all about her.
Every
Here
time
he's flying 24,000 feet in the air, and it's all about her.
Every time they talk, it's like, hey, I'm
quiet.
Man.
Can we go now?
So they're standing there for
the phone.
Couldn't
get a babysitter for her?
Where's my iPad?
So you'll see Blaine starts freaking out because the balloons are heating up, which I don't know what that means exactly. The balloons are heating up.
Because those balloons are heating up.
Okay. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
See?
What'd she say?
Let's go. Luke, the balloons are heating up.
Is it okay if they're heating up?
Yeah,
it's totally fine. So why are we rushing?
It's fine.
It's fine. Yep.
So he either freaked out his daughter or he was kind of a dick to make everybody get going because the balloons are heating up. And she's worried he's going to die.
Was this on a network?
No, it was on YouTube.
Why was it on YouTube? Would you have thought it would have been on TV?
Well, they probably paid the most money for it.
Oh.
No, that makes sense.
How many people watched it on YouTube?
It's number one trending, 4.3 million right now.
Okay.
My favorite part was after they tether him to the balloons and he's like 2 feet off the ground and they have to move him to the platform so he's just floating. Did you see that part?
Yes.
I'm just floating there. Like he's part of the whole, you know, structure.
That's kind of cool. I'd love to do that and not have to walk.
Yeah, why go 25,000 feet? Why not just hover 4 feet all the time?
Well, you know,
that would suffice.
Once I saw him up at that height, I couldn't, and he was talking to Luke, and Trudy mentioned Luke, the guy that went up 70,000 feet, and I thought, well, that's a guy that went up three times as high. What's the big deal?
But
hey, remember, we're going all the way across.
He's only
Isn't that hilarious,
off
Brandon?
The ground.
Yeah. They're pushing him because he's floating like 2 feet off the ground.
That is the most fun.
All right, here's a conversation with his daughter. Let me jump ahead here.
Hi. It's Dan.
How are you?
Amazing. It's so beautiful. And again, it's like magic.
feels like I'm floating.
Well, guess what? She can't see it, jerk.
Yeah, I don't like see anyone. Like for real, I without see the balloons.
Yeah, it just feels yeah, because like
he's pretty far away.
Oh, great.
It's amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
What an insincere.
You ever joined the Mile High Club?
She's totally blown
for
off.
Real?
Yeah.
She's already reaching to take the headphones off.
To get back the thing.
Yeah, he almost wrenched it out.
My daughter dumped me.
Isn't that great?
How needy is this kid?
She had to go before he did.
She did.
She doesn't want to be there.
It's always the worst part of these things, too. The Walenda thing, their family, you know, that was
I know. It's annoying.
This was better than any Walenda event I've seen, though.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Dessa wants to talk to him. This is the time.
Clear of everything.
If she wants to, if not, it's okay.
Now he's way high up in the air.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. You can see the curvature of the earth there.
So, David, before it starts to get any higher and stuff, I just looked over if Dessa's available. Do you have a second to talk to her when she comes over? Or
oh,
not?
Christ.
Because otherwise, it's going to get serious here.
My daughter's on me.
I guess like a cigarette.
I put the gloves on now.
It's up to you, temperature-wise. Why don't you turn the camera on so we see your face, and then Dess will be able to see your face.
Who gives a shit about her?
I don't really care if she's...
I don't think... Does he put the camera on his face? I don't think he does.
Good.
They have, like, 15 cameras.
Here, I'll tell you. You can put gloves on if you'd like.
I mean, he's only at 24,000 feet. You know, just go a little more trouble for your brat on the ground.
I'm busy right now.
And her impulsive demand...
I only work like once every three years.
All fine, everything's safe. I'm going to turn you over to Dessa, and then I'll come back to you.
Boring.
And it's time to start doing oxygen.
Let's see how intrigued Dessa is by
so
what's going
put
on.
Put this on, and then when he talks,
Dessa?
You'll hear him. But to talk to
is
him,
that short
you have to
for
hold
something?
This button down to talk.
I don't know.
Have
Odessa.
A seat right here.
Desecration.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Good, and you?
So if anybody missed that, the guy on the ground is explaining to her how to use it because you have to press the talk back button.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she's paying attention.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
When you talk only, press it. When you talk, then let go.
How do you feel?
Good.
I hear you perfectly. Yeah, I'm good. I'm really, really good.
Great.
You all right?
And I'll be seeing you pretty
She's like
soon.
Jason Moss in this Boring. Whole situation.
Like, in what,
That sounds pretty cool.
I think we're going to go up really high.
What time?
Now.
What time are you coming down?
And then I think I'm going to find a spot and jump down and
but
be brought right to you.
To where?
To
Jesus Christ. I'm at 24,000 fucking
now.
Feet.
It's Wasn't she in the pre-production meeting?
How old is this kid? Nice she doesn't understand up.
But remember, we went to the Arctic Circle and we had New Year's Eve and freezing cold temperatures.
What a shitty New Year's Eve in the Arctic Circle.
I was hoping to prepare for this. So we're going to be good.
Yeah,
yep.
Cool, Dad.
So this is going to be the same. Do you remember we slept
She's trying
in
to go.
I know, she does not want to
Finland,
do this.
Where it was minus
remember that time you made me put all those cardboard boxes together
freezing?
So you could jump in them?
I was up the whole night touching you to make sure you were okay. I was so worried.
Yeah, way to put your kid
back.
At risk.
How many feet do you think you're going to go up?
A we're bunch? At 16,000 now.
Do you know how high that is?
Yeah. What'd you eat?
We're probably going to go up to where the airplanes
Look, she's looking at the producer like, are you done with me yet?
Airspace
to
where the jet planes We don't know how high yet.
Didn't you have a pre-production
meeting?
Didn't
you brief the brat?
I got to focus now, so yeah, that's it.
Oh, he's got to go first.
Pass out.
Love you. Love you. Love you, bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, boy. Now, there was a fart. Brandon, there was a fart in this thing, was there not? That wasn't
yeah,
was
I got
that
it right
fake?
Here.
That was not fake?
No, I don't believe this was fake. This is all over.
Open at 7,000 feet. 7,000 feet so you can make it back to the spot. You did a handle check, so you're good. Really like you don't.
He's breathing hard. I mean, he's using the he's being the oxygen, so there's a lot of air. There's a lot of air going on.
Sure.
Yeah, you have to.
Open at 7,000 feet. 7,000 feet, so you can make it back to.
That's how you
the
pressurize
spot.
Yourself.
You did a handle check, so you're good.
Did it move him at all? Did it move him along?
What if it shot him like 15 feet?
You know, when they showed how fast he was going laterally, I just couldn't help thinking of Balloon Boy.
Yeah.
It just so reminded me of the flight that Balloon Boy was not on.
Right.
Because I had seen it in the whole afternoon. And there's, what's his name, Heaney?
Falcon Heaney.
Falcon Heaney, believed to be in the blue going, and he's just flying in that thing. I was pissed when he wasn't in it. In the end, it was like, his health was really not here nor there to me. It was like, wait, he's not in it? Are you fucking kidding me?
Around, not yet, because I like to see what I'm seeing.
This guy's obsessed with Blaine's cameras.
I know.
I'm going to then have you do one more.
I'm getting very Blained out.
Once the camera's tight to your body, but not
yes,
yet,
sir.
Give you time to probably 3 minutes to drop.
We did this for a show.
Should we call Falconini to see if he saw it?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I think we should call Tony Dow to find out if he remembers being passed a joint by George Harrison and Tommy Chong. Do we still have Tony Dow's phone number?
I will look for it.
Oh, that'd be epic.
We used to have it. I mean, we used to reach him. We called him really early, and his wife was pissed once. So,
did Beav party, too?
Beav?
Did we know of?
I don't know.
Beav.
I bet the Beaver, Tony Dow and Jerry Mathers is the Beaver.
Yeah.
God, he lived out. He was the Beaver's entire life. He really was. Because they had that series on TNT or something later on.
Yeah, he tried to come back.
Oh, boy.
Did you know Jerry Mathers bombed his audition for the Beav? And that's why they hired him, because he was a normal kid who didn't want to be there.
Well, they wanted a troublemaker.
According to the Micro podcast I just listened to.
Let me tell you about Luke Nowacki. And overreaction is not the strategy for the long-term investor. Neither is burying your head in the sand and hoping it all turns out for the best.
That's me.
Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies, 248-663-4748 for some rational financial advice, because things are strange. There's a big election coming up. Yes, a very big one, and that might be part of the thinking. I did see today that J.P. Morgan's investment guru said, and you know, they disseminate their advice every 2 weeks or every month or whatever. Just their general advice. And his feeling was that Trump is going to win. And he even said, due to cancel culture and
violence,
was that what it was? Which I thought was interesting. I'm surprised that he would even delve into why he thinks he's going to win. But
it was nice to see President Trump tweet about the markets today with two emojis. Did you see that?
What emojis did he use?
Water squirt.
The Dow Jones just closed above 29,000. You are so lucky to have me as your president, winky faced emoji, with Joe Hyden. He's hiding in his basement.
Oh,
Joe Hyden, it would crash, and then kind of frowny face.
Joe Biden was speaking today, which was kind of interesting because he took questions, but we'll get into that later. First, what does this mean now? What does it mean 6 months from now? What does this mean the day after the election? What does it mean in 6 years? Stocks, bonds, do you move your 401k? Is it invested properly? What about your college savings plan? How conservative, how aggressive do you want to be with that? Is your pension fund meeting its projected return? Get advice, get a strategy. Call Luke Nowacki, Pinnacle Wealth Strategies, 248-663-4748. Do you have the outro handy? Does that mean no?
Securities investment. No, I can get it. I'm sorry. I was looking. I did find
securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
I was going to say, I found Tony Dow's number.
Oh, cool. Well, Trudy, you want to deal with Dr. Roche first?
Yeah, because they have promotions and specials for September that are going to contour you, and it's Evolve Body Contouring. The special on Trim, Tight, and Tone. They give you 3 treatments of Trim or Tone, 3 treatments of Tight, 3 treatments of Zerona and Virju, 6 treatments of that. It's $5,300 value, but just $2,500 now. And breasts, saline, $3,500. BBL, since it's the fall now and we're not exposed to as much sun, it's the time to get treatments of BBL, and they have a special on that, too. Photorev and corrective treatments, 6 each for $2,325. It's $1,000 now. Diva, and we all know about that, plus a free G-shot. And their CBD products. I was talking to Dr. Roche about that and asking him what the various things are, and he says, you know, they are for specific things. But the idea is to get more, load yourself up with cannabinoids so that you feel better in general. And so that's when he gave me the water. And you can get this cannabinoid water. That's pretty cool. Easy way to intake, and you stay hydrated. Call them for a teleconsultation at 248-338-1110. You don't even have to go in. You can talk to them all about it on the phone and get it all done. And then you go. By the way, you should go.
Do it.
Oh, you can't go without a COVID test.
You can. They will.
True, I mean, shouldn't the Evolve thing, though? I mean, just literally lose weight.
That's right.
And grow muscle while you lie down and have a laser hit you.
I know, that's the best. But they said that they now have tests that will come to you. So
I know. I'm just not in any big hurry to do anything. But but nonetheless, I'm glad they're doing well. I mean, it sounds like they don't need me. They're awfully busy.
Yeah, they're really
crazy
are.
Busy.
Yeah.
Today Joe Biden was speaking, and it was interesting because all of a sudden Joe Biden seems to be out and about, and today he gave a long speech on reopening schools, and then he took questions. I was like, And, you know, I would honestly, I would not exaggerate or downplay Joe Biden's condition, quote unquote, because I really have no dog in this fight or no reason to lie about it. I just am not that worked up either way. I thought Biden was okay. I don't think he said anything crazy. At the end, he was bobbling a little bit with numbers, but generally speaking, I thought he was fairly cogent. Huh. I mean, if somebody's looking for that big goof, you know, or that
I
was thinking, oh, is he going to say the one thing that's the only thing gets discussed about this, you know, because he was talking for a long time.
Right. Wow.
Didn't he flub something on Monday?
I don't know. On Monday?
Yeah, I thought I saw that.
I don't think it's this way. Basically, he got tripped up over his words, something similar to...
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are... Well, let me go to the second thing. I'm sure for nothing.
Oops.
There was...
I've been there, though, where you can't think of what the next thing you're supposed to say is, and you're...
But you're not running for president.
Yeah, true.
I don't think anything like that happened today, but I will say this. There was the one thing that I thought was kind of funny was that he's walking away and, you know, he's like, I'm sorry. I just, you know, got to get moving on. I got to have a schedule. And then people are yelling questions. He goes, all right, I'll take one more from that guy. And this guy asks him, most of the questions were, I thought, fairly straightforward.
Are you more than 7 inches?
There was that.
Really?
They were straightforward, and he did not have straightforward answers. What am I talking about? His answers go on and on and on. It drives me crazy with Trump does it too. You ask a simple question, and it's like a 4-minute answer, and by the time they finish answering, it's like, what was the question again? Politicians are terrible about that. I hate it. So anyway, he takes the one more, and I was like, oh, I don't know if he should take one more. He's pretty well done okay today. And so the guy goes, you said you warned Trump about the pandemic and what needed to be done in January, but you were having these big outside rallies in March.
Stupid question.
And so Biden, of course, really doesn't answer the question at all about why he was having outdoor rallies in March. But he said that he laid it out in March for Trump what he needed to do, and Trump listened. And then he said, we can't continue to have these large rallies. And then he kind of got off the topic talking about why do we think that when we get a vaccine that people are going to just line up and take it? And I think he was implying that that's Trump's fault, that people won't take vaccines.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really know where he was going, but he talked for a long time. It was like this one question must have taken 6 or 7 minutes to answer, and I don't really know if he really answered the question. But, you know, that's sort of that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
It was a lot of dream weaving, a lot of blah, blah, blah. But I think that's okay.
Yeah. I think the biggest story today is the jetpack, besides the balloon thing.
Oh, at LAX?
Yeah.
I know. I wish there was a video. Somebody's got to have a video of this. I mean, three planes call the tower and say, just avoided some guy with a jetpack. And all I can think of is, oh, my God, a guy with a jetpack. How cool. Not, you know, that some jetpack is going to be in the engine.
Yeah,
we're going to need... you know, what's his name to land the plane?
Sully?
Sully. Yeah. Can you imagine if the plane sucked up the jetpack in the engine?
Oh, gross. Oh, scattered all over
and there's just blood flying out the back. Gross.
The contrail is bloody. They have a red contrail. Freak out. They have all these buzzkills who are like, there's no way the jetpacks have enough fuel to go that high.
I know. So, I wanted to tell those people, shut up. What do you mean? There's no place to get fuel, I guess. There's no way anyone can get fuel to go to 3,000 feet. Really? This is America.
It's scientifically impossible, according to these eggheads.
Oh, and that it's too loud. People would have said something about it on the ground because they're so loud. It's like, fuck you. And then they show videos of guys just going, just going way up and way down. And they're cruising over the water. And it's like, it looks to me like they could get up there. Shut up.
Yeah, I know.
We'll ruin a good story.
Did you like the pilot humor and the conversation between all the pilots with the ground control?
What was it?
You didn't catch the joke?
No.
It wasn't that funny.
Only in L.A., over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a mic drop, too. That was the last thing said, wasn't it?
It's the only thing that pilot said. Like, he was just waiting to get that one gem out.
And Trudy sent me a story about Tekashi 6ix9ine today. There was a lot of entertainment news today, which is like, oh, yeah, cool. Don't have to talk about other stupid shit.
Right.
And anyway, this Tekashi 6ix9ine, it's the first interview he's done since he got out of prison.
Yeah.
And the first part of the story is that he's got 1 billion views in 4 months since he's out. Which is like, oh, God. 2 top 5 hits and 47 years. He snitched his way down to 2 years, and I'm like, I still can't get over that. Why 2 years? Why not 12 years or 10 years or 15 years? Why did he get 2 years? And then he let him out early because his asthma was so bad, but then you see him on his video shoot with no mask.
He's fine.
Not worried about COVID. anyways, I'm reading this thing. I'm getting madder and madder because I hate this guy, and he's such a flaming asshole, and the New York Times pointed this out. He's so squirrely about all the shit he did and like, who cares? I mean, he just isn't apologetic at all. And so as I'm reading this, I'm going, God damn it. We're the people who are supposed to kill him. They were going to just kill him immediately when he got out. His life was over. You can't snitch like that. What? The Trey Nine Bloods gotten soft? What the fuck is going on? Him already.
You can't count on anything.
He's one of those guys that's too big and recognizable to kill.
No, they could kill him. What are they waiting for?
I don't know.
And then I'm thinking, well, that's not a very Christian way to think. Boy, they've done a great job for security on Tekashi 6ix9ine, and those 9 Trey Gangster Bloods sure are forgiving people these days. Props to them. I mean, honestly, what the fuck? You can just snitch on that many people and nobody cares? Nobody's going to do anything about it?
Yeah. Wait for it to die down first, possibly, and then snuff him?
The worst thing in the whole article, though, was they asked him... Well, you know, it's hard to really pinpoint the worst thing because there's so many annoying things in here. They asked him if he'd atone for his sex crimes. And he said, of course, no other celebrity gives back as much as Daniel Hernandez.
God.
Gives back? You know, he got 4 years of probation and 1,000 hours of community service, which I would like a forensic accountant to please check into the 1,000 hours of community service. And then... He says...
I like to help the kids. You know what I'm saying?
They asked him, you know, what was going on there? I mean, how that? And he's like, I was making a whole bunch of content.
Okay.
And then he says, I was 18, she was 13, and am I this 40-year-old Jeffrey Epstein type? No. I mean, it really wasn't even apologetic. It was just bullshit.
Wow.
And would you understand why people wouldn't forgive him for that?
Why would he be apologetic? Because
he gets away with everything.
Out, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you understand why people wouldn't forgive you? And he says, I don't wake up and think, does this person like me? I say, how can this person hate me even more?
Well,
and then I'm thinking, oh,
works.
I see. So this is all shtick. And it's almost, you know, like it just the bigger asshole he is, the more streams he gets.
We will never forgive you.
And then I love this one. Anyone who doesn't like me is uncomfortable in their own skin. What? What are you talking about?
You must hate yourself to hate someone else.
And I will never hate myself. I love everything I've been through, and I will never take it back. Oh, I see. So you love that you filmed a 13-year-old providing sex acts for older men while you touched her and you had sex with her and
got away
yourself
with it.
And that's great. And then
he's never been punished, Drew. Why would he change? Why would he feel any different?
No.
Can somebody just kill him like they said they were going to? I mean, God, the one time you're rooting for a crime and it doesn't happen. Jesus. What is with the train nines? I thought they were so tough.
What was that line again about if they hate, what if they don't like him, they don't like them? How did he say
that? Not comfortable in their own skin.
Not comfortable in their own skin. Then he said that Tupac Shakur was convicted of rape. He's loved. I never caught a rape charge.
Well, go get shot and get killed then.
Yeah, he's dead.
People will love you.
Yes, we'll love you when you're dead. Go.
Calls himself a genius, and then they pointed out that the mother of his child, who he doesn't see, by the way, that's some sort of a battle, I guess, Sarah Molina, that she claimed he physically abused her for years. He's like, I admitted to all that. I admitted all that, so what's the big deal?
Great genius.
So it's
my God, he's so deep.
And just to top it all off, at the end they asked him if anything has made him rethink his use of the N-word as a non-black person, to which he said, nobody is going to make me stop saying, and he says the N-word.
Okay, cool.
Who's going to stop me?
I'm a genius too. Let's go, huh?
Interesting, though, that, this guy who is involved in sexual assaults on a 13-year-old commits armed robberies and 47 years worth of crimes and snitches his way out of all of them, that he can just blow the N-word out in song after song after song and it doesn't matter?
Well, he's going to cancel him.
Isn't that amazing?
Go cancel him then. He's going to cancel him.
I don't know. Why can't he be canceled? Why isn't there pressure on his record company or whoever puts out his stuff?
Because he makes a lot of money.
Well, I see. So I guess all this outrage isn't very real then. I mean, this guy is as bad as anyone because he's not even sorry. He says he's going to keep doing it. And it doesn't matter.
Hey.
Kind of interesting.
Good way to be.
He won't make it to 30. Don't worry.
Well, they were supposed to be killed as soon as he got out.
They're getting to it. Maybe they have a long...
What are they waiting for?
A long COVID? To-do list.
Well, it's COVID, and we're really nervous about being out without masks and stuff.
What if that's how they kill him? They just go...
What's up with the train nine bloods? Come on. You're supposed to be so fucking tough. Let's go.
The hitman's just going to go up to him and go... And just cough on him. Yeah. Give him COVID.
You know what's going to kill him is his asthma because he smokes cigarettes and marijuana, and you shouldn't pair that with asthma.
I know, and he almost died in prison because of COVID and his asthma.
Oh, where'd you get that cool pussy shirt? Did you see that shirt, Drew?
Yeah.
There, I'm sure you can see it over there. See it? Isn't that a cool shirt?
Oh, nice.
Black shirt with five giant white letters.
What is he trying to say there?
You know what I hate, too?
Yeah, he is.
He's like, isn't he like 5'2"? I mean, he's tiny. I saw him at one time. He was at the airport, and he was acting like he was trying to get in a fight with someone. And, of course, all these people are holding him back. And the other guy's like, 5'10", and he just towers over him. I mean, he never fights anyone. He's not tough. Yeah. I guess he's tough with a gun in his hand. But
oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well,
I do have a boner line today that we had pushed off yesterday's show.
Why don't you roll the boner line?
One last thing before Tekashi 6ix9ine. Does he in that interview ever say anything about his 5-year-old daughter? He has a 5-year-old daughter.
Yeah, that's the mom that he beat up all the time.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that she was 5 now.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yep.
Yeah, she's been on podcasts stating that he's a deadbeat and doesn't give her any money. And
he wasn't. I think he is now, supposedly.
I hope she invests.
But yeah, that's the girl that has the giant 6ix9ine on her tit.
Oh yeah.
And I said at the time, I was like, oh, don't do that.
6ix9ine.
Of course, she's out of the picture now.
So I think the 5-year-old is probably in a better place without having
sure.
That for a dad.
It's your dad.
I don't know. I don't want to be judgmental, though.
Okay, Brandon, why don't you roll the boner line?
Great. 209-66-BONER. Text us, call us. And they don't all get on the air, but I do listen to every single one of them, and we appreciate it. So here it is.
Calling up the boner line to complain about the lack of boner line recently, man. What's the deal?
I'm like busy watching TV.
Okay, so I'm pretty convinced the boner line is not a thing anymore and no one's ever going to hear this voice message.
Stop whining.
I'm not even sure if this fucking stupid boner line is even still in effect now. You guys are doing the calls anymore and I'm sure this won't get played.
Whiner.
You guys were talking about the Trump Unity Bridge.
I see the guy all over the place.
Thank you.
I love it because, you know, usually when he drives through a parking lot, there's people screaming and yelling and cheering and saying how awesome he is.
You are so generous. Thank you.
And then there's guys standing next to their toddlers, flicking them the finger and telling them to fuck off.
They're losers. Just remember that.
So, yeah, he is a divider, but he's also fucking awesome.
He's all man. He's a big, strong-looking guy.
You know, I don't think I ever had a hate for Amy Schumer until you guys started talking about her. And now she has a show on Food Network called Amy Schumer Learns to Cook.
Sounds like a great one.
And this episode, her, I guess her husband, this pumpkin pie haircutted freak, is trying to make brownies. He gets a pan that's too fucking big. The brownies don't even fit in there. She puts on a Hitler mustache with brownie shit on her face. And then talks about pounding him. And then calls Jeff Goldblum. And he's talking about his kids and some shit. Like, really? Put me on a fucking cooking show.
It's not funny!
And you guys are talking about Ellen DeGeneres' brother, Vans DeGeneres, had a moment of confusion. Because I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Isn't that the thing that they sniff when you get yourself neutered? So, yeah, I confused Vans DeGeneres with Vans Deference.
Nice name, not.
Fun fact, Mark. The doctor, after I was done with getting my Vans Deference sniffed, complimented on my Vans Deference, said it was very nice.
You got a tiny penis.
How can you be talking about the skin, doc, talking about a huge bush and not play the drop? You show me a huge bush and I'm out of there. We need to bring that back ASAP.
You give me a bush, dude. I'm walking. I don't care how old a guy I am. I don't care how hard my dick is. I'm walking out of that room.
This one is for Drew. Drew, why don't you get a room with the word ballyhoo?
Really, the word, I think one of the greatest of all terms I've come up with. I guess other people have used it perhaps over the years, but I've never noticed it.
Is Brandon the softest person ever? Oh. I need a small dog with small poops, and I'm hypoallergenic.
It's nice to see you again, Mr. Insult.
Brandon was laughing at that.
I think I'm going to shit myself, Brandon.
There's one disgusting person.
Got a Brandon fart tag. The John Tucker fart, August 23rd podcast, 1 hour, 14 minutes, 21 seconds.
And John Tucker, didn't he have a movie done after him?
Jonathan Tucker Must Die?
Yeah.
Well, he made it. I mean, for all those people who want him to die, made it through it all.
P.U.
The more we hear about Brandon and Kristen's marriage, the more I'm convinced they're like a real-life version of the movie Knocked Up. I think about, you got Brandon, who's like the Seth Rogen guy, where he's a schlubby dude, and he's kind of a load. But yeah, he's a nice guy, and everyone likes him. And inexplicably, he hooks up with a smoking hot girl with a great career, and no one can explain how this happened.
Lucky.
I agree with my wife.
If Clark was still around, he would be talking about how Becky Stafford desperately needs a crotch post.
Would you call her promiscuous?
Oh, for God's sake.
First of all, RIP to Jim South. But it brings up a good Mike Clark memory for me is that every time they would play the Bing did a bong, we're off to Acapulco drop, Mike would always say, and Bing did a bong, we're off to an old antiquated tourist location.
Bitch!
How about Trudy on that Deadpool? Watches the movie 42, a couple days later, the main character dies.
Sorry.
Jesus, Trudy, can't you watch any Tom Cruise movies?
The audio with the guy in front of the heat ray gun where he's counting down 1,000, 2,000. You have to make that a new drop. That has to be.
1,000, 2,000, 3,000.
Ah!
I didn't know what he was talking about at first. Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
Awesome.
1,000, 2,000, 3,000.
Wow. By the way, that's a 1.7 second drop. So his 3 seconds is incorrect. That's not the best way.
1,000, 2,000, 3,000. 3,000.
Well, the thousands went too fast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Imagine how fast he would have counted if he didn't say 1,000 between 1 and 2. Between 2 and 3. Brandon, what was for dinner? I saw you shoveling it.
No. Kristen and Madeline came and dropped a salad.
I saw them.
For me. I think they want me to get in better shape.
It's just a salad?
Yeah, because like that message on the boner line, I'm kind of a load right now.
Have you gained weight since COVID? You don't look like it. You have?
Yeah, in my gut, I guess. I don't know. I don't look good. I'll say that. That's why I can't.
Brandon,
do the
you look
moves.
Fine.
Well,
no, you're kind of gross.
Oh, jeez.
So
you know, when I was younger, I always had you know, genetics. You know, I always had the body where I think my mom was so skinny that I just was always thin, and I looked decent. And I don't know, over the last few years, I don't like taking my shirt off in public anymore.
Well, you could get ripped, man. I mean,
did you ever really enjoy taking your shirt off?
No, like, but I didn't mind off? It. You know,
sounds
I
like a creepy conversation.
Then again, I don't care about much. I mean, I fart in front of a lot of people every day. But
I was going to say, I'm disgusting. It. I don't give a shit about taking my shirt off. I don't care.
Because
a wise man once said, "If you don't like me,
you're
not comfortable in your own skin."
Well, I just went to the beach this past weekend.
What's that?
I don't know.
You're at the beach.
Yeah, I went to Lexington for a day trip, and I don't know. I just felt like fat.
So did you wear a mask?
I got to get the salad going on here.
You didn't wear a mask?
He doesn't want to talk to us.
Did I wear a mask on the beach? No, of course not.
You're dying.
It's silly.
ASAP.
Nobody did. There was not a single mask.
All those people are dying.
They did on Lake Michigan when I went to Ludington. Everybody's wearing a beach.
But
beach
every
mask.
Time, you know, if we went to an ice cream store, or if we went somewhere that is
you're
either indoors or highly populated.
Ice cream store? I thought you said you were just trying to get skinnier.
Well, we have a child, and sometimes
a
little baby.
So she got it. You didn't get any ice cream?
Oh, Mark.
I'm just asking.
Fine, Mark. Yes, I did get a single scoop of Superman, and yes, it did turn my shit green. But whatever.
Wait a minute. What? It's ice cream that makes your... Really? It's like the Motley Crue blue poop stuff?
Superman ice cream, at least for me, makes it green.
I gotta say, one of the joys of having a little kid is watching an ice cream cone melt super fast in their hands.
Oh, that's true.
So they can't handle it, and it becomes a total mess all over the place. Because you know they hate it, and it's like, oh, what do you want me to do? It's melting, but they don't want to give it up. They have to learn that lesson. And you either don't eat it, or it's going to be a total mess, you slob.
I think that puts zoos off eating ice cream from childhood.
Oh, really?
Till forever, yeah.
Zoos.
Well, not my kids. They just scarfed it down to a mess, just like Dad.
It would melt, and he'd get frustrated.
Zoobs had said, what did he say? I haven't had chocolate in 10 years. Is that what Zoobs said?
His diet is the weirdest diet.
It's so true. It is true.
How can he not have Zoobs?
He hasn't had caffeine in forever, too.
Why?
He's upstairs taking a bath.
Why hasn't he had caffeine? Caffeine's great.
Caffeine is
good for you.
It exacerbates anxiety, and so he doesn't want. He wants to be more laid back. Caffeine is, you know.
I just always tell him, just don't worry about it.
I know.
Which is the greatest thing to tell people that have like anxieties. Don't worry about it.
No, it works.
It's the rudest thing to do. Yeah, it's the rudest thing to do. But you don't understand.
No, it is hard to relate to. It is totally hard to relate to, you know, like if you don't have any of that stuff. So,
well, sure.
Yeah.
Let's see what else is going on. I have a bunch of tabloid stuff. Oh, hey, remember that girl, those girls that were outside Taco Bell because they didn't have Wi-Fi? It was a really sad story.
Yeah.
Doing their schoolwork. Mm-hmm. See how much money they're getting their GoFundMe?
No, how much?
How much money do you think you would need to maybe get your own internet Wi-Fi? Maybe let's throw a new computer too. It's a really tough situation.
So like $10,000?
I don't even think you need that much. What do you need? Maybe $2,000 for two kids and Wi-Fi?
Okay, sure.
I don't know what they're going to do with the other $128,000 that were raised for.
Wow, really?
It's a really nice thing.
The right thing that goes viral, and that GoFundMe skyrockets. And then there could be an incredible story where the people really need the money, but it doesn't go viral, so you don't get any cash. It's so weird.
I guess the full story is they're about to be evicted as well, so now it's going to help keep the house. But it just seems funny when you say the two girls that don't have Wi-Fi now have $130,000. It sounds like they're getting an accountant, and they're actually going to...
Well, they're going to manage it right.
Shit together, so.
That's pretty cool.
It's a rough situation, man.
Yeah, but Wi-Fi is internet, and internet is cable, and cable is, what, $200 and some a month, so.
You can cut the cord. Those kids don't need to be watching TV.
My bill's still like $170, something like that.
Is it really with the cord cutting?
Yeah, because you have to buy every internet service, you know. Got to get Disney, you have to get HBO Max,
Just to find some friends to share.
It's Keanu Reeves' birthday today.
Ew.
Why? Ew, I love him.
He smells like B.O.?
No, he doesn't smell that anymore.
Is the new movie doing well?
The new movie is doing great.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought you liked it.
without theaters for it to be shown in, it did really well.
What do you think it got on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, they didn't like it, right?
Well, don't lead him. This is my honestly is my favorite thing in the world is having Drew guess any movie.
This is a lot of pressure.
What's it called?
Because I think people that watch it will be people that want to watch it.
Yes.
I'm going to say it's a sequel.
Three.
It's a quote. Three. It's a third one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the audience is, I don't think they're as enthusiastic as Trudy.
I love this path because you're on the right path. Enthusiastic.
I'm
going to
say it's 57.
Ooh, 79.
Oh, it's 79?
You want to guess what the critics gave it?
Oh, boy.
I'll say they gave it a 51.
81.
Wow, really?
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves really fucked me up.
What prep did you do upstairs? You were gone for a while.
I wasn't gone that long, was I?
I don't know.
I missed the boner line. What did I miss in the boner line?
Oh, people are ragging on Brandon
for.
They were lauding him for farting, though, at particular moments. And
there was praise for my wife and insults for me. There was also somebody requesting that you stop using the word ballyhoo.
I think the comparison
ballyhoo's a cool word.
They compared Brandon and Kristen's relationship to the movie Knocked Up. Seth Rogen, and she's what's that? I don't remember that lady's name.
Catherine Heigl.
That's right. She's terrible.
Catherine Heigl is very concerned that every time her child leaves the house, she has to worry about him being murdered by the police.
Yeah, because he's black.
She adopted a black son.
She's terrible.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
terrible.
That. But I don't find myself to no, because that movie was just a hookup, and then they got together. Kristen and I. We've been together for years and years and years and years and years and years prior to
hooking up,
getting married, prior to her getting her career established. She was scooping ice cream cones when I met her.
Oh,
well.
Oh, hey, it sounds like Dorothy Stratton. Yeah, Dorothy Stratton.
Paul Snyder.
I am Paul Snyder. I was 4 years old.
Where'd you send her pictures to?
I sent.
By Hef.
I sent pics over to Hef. And
well, I wanted to. I so hate bringing this up. I just hate it.
Dancing with the Stars?
No, I hate it more than that. Although, we could mention that Dancing with the Stars.
Who are they?
Did you see Tom Bergeron was trending on Twitter?
Oh, because he's not part of it anymore?
Yeah, because people are blowing off steam now. They're so angry that he and Aaron Andrews were blown out of Dancing with the Stars. And Aaron Andrews said that it was a total shock.
Oh, boo.
Today, she finally, I didn't think she'd really said anything yet.
Here's some of the people. Vernon Davis, the football player, loves to cry.
Carol Baskin from
Tiger King. Carol Baskin.
Yeah, I thought she was considered to be possibly murdered.
She is. She's a murderer. I think it's the first murderer they're going to have on.
Oh,
I'm not sure if it's the right person to have on. But
Anne Heche.
Yeah, Anne Heche. So Ellen goes down, Anne Heche goes up.
And the rapper Nelly.
Oh. Nelly has some Me Too stuff going on, right?
Wow, it's the shock version of Dance of the Stars. Johnny Weir is on there, and
he'll be great. I hope he wins.
Charles Oakley. No, you know who's going to win?
Who?
Catfish star Nev Schulman.
Oh, Nev's on. That's right.
Because he loves
and
dancing.
AJ. You forgot AJ.
Ooh! AJ Foyt?
AJ McLean.
Yeah.
He's on there.
Back streets back again.
He'll probably win just because.
Oh, I hope
he
dances.
His whole
that.
Career was dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should. He should kick ass. Yeah.
It was 93% dancing, 6% singing, and 1% doing whatever Justin Timberlake told him to do. So he will win this thing. I imagine.
Oh, is that your prediction? No.
Don't count on Nev.
Where has Anne Heche been? She did big movies after she, pretended she was in love with Ellen. For a couple years, and she was crawling all over every time they were on TV. Remember how PDA-ish they were on TV all the time?
Oh, yeah. Maybe she's back with Steve Martin.
Well, if she's back with Steve Martin, she'll be back with a woman pretty soon, then.
That's right. Because he was entering your mouth.
No, the entertainment news that was so disturbing was that Meghan and Harry signed a mega Netflix deal.
Oh, yeah.
And I quote, to be Hollywood producers... Yeah, they're sure. The guy with red hair, the abnormally pink wiener, and the girl that sat on it. Yeah, they've got all the qualifications to be Hollywood producers. And their goal is to do films and shows that give hope.
Oh, boring.
I know. How boring. Now, Netflix is a brilliant business. They have done everything right. and I can't believe this is the right thing.
It's going to be the Hallmark Channel with those two.
Are people going to watch their shit because Meghan and Harry did it?
I would say no.
About producing movies?
She was in the business.
I mean, are people really going, God, I just wish there were movies that gave hope?
What I'd love to know is...
I need something maybe to give
Thomas,
me hope.
Maybe
what's
Thomas
on Netflix?
Can do the lighting.
Was anybody else trying to hire them or go after them?
Yeah, it sounded like it. Sounded like everybody's dying to throw money at them.
So there was a bidding war?
I don't know. But I seriously, I'm going to start praying every night that... They fail so miserably on Netflix that they take Netflix down completely. I will pray every night, and I know there will be tons of people on their knees next to their bed with their hands together praying for the same thing. They will. Nobody wants them to succeed at this.
Well, ironically, you know, the market had a really good day today. Netflix went down, so it would be because of this. Because
so many people are praying for their failure.
Take it down.
Yeah, but what do I watch after Netflix goes down? Quibi?
Please, God, make it bomb! Make it bomb, God!
Quibi reminds me, there's a story here. There's a story about some comedian, I guess, who was Me Too'd.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know. I don't know who that is.
No,
honestly, I don't even care about the story. He got his thing pulled from HBO Max, but the thing that made me laugh really hard was that his show on Quibi has been pulled.
I saw that.
Well, no one sees it anyway. That
Quibi
should be a punishment.
Can't do anything right. Everything has just gone wrong for Quibi.
Who is James Vike? Have you ever heard of him before?
Is he British? He looked British.
I think I've heard the name. No, he went to Sarah Lawrence, which is like, what, that's not a girl's school?
Get into that. Sarah Lawrence. Yeah.
Is it one of the Seven Sisters of the Northeast?
The Traveling Pants.
Yeah, it was a girl's school, I think, and I think guys started going a while ago so they'd have somebody to fuck.
It's been set to be edited out of Q Talks, a Quibi series that sees celebrities such as Regina Hall,
Who's that?
Kudrow, Jimmy O Yang, give expert talks on topics they've never heard before.
You know, I gotta tell you,
so the series is. C-list celebrities talking about things that they don't know about.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think Quibi's got it going. And you know, Quibi is trying to say, "Oh, it's all about the pandemic." Like, you can't blame the failure of Quibi on the pandemic. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's a new form of entertainment. What better time than a pandemic?
Yeah, it would help them. People are sitting around watching TV.
Anyway, this James Veitch, now one of the things I saw about him was, okay, he's got this HBO Max show, which is immediately canned. He's edited out of Quibi. And then the other thing was that he was a guest on Conan, which is like, well, that's credibility right there. I mean, Conan usually on pretty much the cutting edge of comedy and certainly, you know, has a lot of friends in the world of comedy and good friends and funny friends. And I guess... Some girl from Sarah Lawrence actually tweeted something at Conan every time he was on Conan saying, you realize you have a, you know, some, I forgot what they called him, a sexual
predator,
yeah, on your show. And they never got any response. And I don't think Conan has said anything yet. And I don't know if it matters. I mean, just because he was on Conan, because
he's
not on now.
What's Conan supposed to do, though? Is he supposed to investigate it?
And, you know, that's the problem with this. And I will say, you know, when I saw how quick the reaction was, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's. I mean, all it takes is one female who says she's done some investigating. I mean, she's a former student there. She's not an investigative reporter. And it's not like you've got people giving depositions or police reports or anything like that. This is just all someone collecting data from people. The way the story goes is that when he was at Sarah Lawrence, he had a bad reputation, for being not very nice to women. For
including an alleged rape.
Well, three alleged rapes. Yeah. I mean, not then, but now.
Yeah.
She was so, this one girl was so upset about the fact that he had this HBO Max thing, she started, I guess, putting out feelers. Actually, I think she originally tweeted something or said something, and then she realized that, oh, I don't really know what the story is. All I know is that I've heard that he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
So she started contacting some people who knew some people, and they all gathered these stories together, and there's a number of stories. There are three who claim they were raped. One girl says she was anally raped. And others, sexual assault charges. But, you know, it's one thing to be dumped out of HBO Max, but shouldn't this guy, this isn't that long ago, shouldn't he be charged? Shouldn't they go after him, legally speaking, if he's raping people?
Yeah, contact the authorities.
One of the weird things about it was, you know, he goes to Sarah Lawrence, and a couple of these cases are when he's like 8 years out of school, and for some reason, why is he still hanging around Sarah Lawrence nailing chicks that don't really want to be nailed? I mean, it just sounded something.
He was directing productions there. Plays.
Oh, I see.
As a grad student.
Okay. We have more podcast competition. Blake Griffin is going to do a podcast.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I'll listen to one or two.
He's a funny dude.
Yeah, he is.
Except, did you see the theme of the podcast?
Yeah, I was thinking that I'm not expecting to see him go ahead of us on the charts anytime soon. Because
why?
He's having Chelsea Handler on, and he's the NASA...
Boring!
The NASA nutritionist on.
It's a health and nutrition podcast, which... I don't want to listen to one of those anyway. But
why would he do a health and nutrition podcast?
Oh, he's a funny guy. He should be doing doing the Blake Griffin podcast.
You know who else has a podcast now?
Who?
Jason Bateman and Will Arnett.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's been going on for a while.
Oh, it has?
That does really... Isn't it been on for a while?
I don't know.
What's it called?
It's something like...
is there a third person?
Yeah, Sean Hayes.
Sean Hayes.
Yeah, I think it's one of the top podcasts.
Really?
Honestly.
Smartless?
I didn't even know that existed.
Let me look it up. I have not listened to it, but I remember reading about it going, that's got to be a good podcast, I would think. And in fact, I thought I saw it was doing extremely well.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be. In fact, you know, you were mentioning Conan, and Conan is really expanding. You know, he's like a network now.
Yeah.
And he's kind of he is the worst when it comes to going on other people's podcasts just to have them on his own type of thing. Like I saw him on Michelle Obama's podcast recently, and so the Obamas will be on his podcast type of thing. And it's crazy because if you look at Smartless right now,
right,
Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, Will Arnett, they're actually getting some people that I haven't seen on too many others, like Neil deGrasse Tyson. They have Robert Downey Jr. I haven't seen him on too many podcasts.
Wow, nice pull.
Oh, wow. Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Who else, Brandon?
But they've also fallen into, I wonder why they had Dax Shepard on.
Yeah, of course.
Melissa McCarthy, Seth Rogen, Kamala Harris, Will Ferrell.
Oh, right. That must have been a good one. I got to listen to that.
This is going to blow my mind. They were ranked... I saw them ranked, and I know they've had... How many episodes have they had, Brandon?
You know, I really only see a handful, maybe 10, but the most recent one was just 2 days ago.
Huh.
I'm going through, and I don't see them ranked anymore. What the? Because it says they're out of the Apple rankings. That seems impossible. Hmm. I mean, when you see some of the tools that are... Although, you know, some of these shows are, you know, with Spotify, or they're with...
sponsored by iHeart or something.
Yeah, they have a network behind them that really pushes them. And that's what annoyed the shit out of me sometimes, is that you would find that, you know, when Topher Grace started, and I'm checking out Anna Faris, and the Topher Grace podcast plays. Anna's off. Here's the Topher Grace podcast. Hmm. And the next thing you know, Topher Grace is, you know, this high-ranked podcast. And then Topher Grace, by the way, is not a high-ranked podcast because it's really bad. but I can't find those guys. That seems impossible that wouldn't be. Is everyone showing up for every show?
Yeah, that's what he was on. I heard about this on Dax's show. So
to believe.
They just, you know, have a microphone and a laptop, and wherever they are, they just start doing a show. So
okay.
But Jason Bateman is hilarious on. I mean, he's really dry, but he's.
Me personally, Will Arnett is the one that would bring me to that show.
Yeah.
And I like the other guys too.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to go, where the fuck is it? Oh. Anyway.
I don't know. Are you a big Sean Hayes fan?
No, I'm not. Not at all.
Not so much.
I find him kind of annoying, to be honest.
Hey, did you guys get the phone numbers that I sent you?
Yeah.
For a telemarketer scams?
I have not tried
Oh, that. Yeah, I did. I wrote those down. Should we call Tony Dow first? We surely find out if he remembers the story. I think we should. We need to do some fact checking. We haven't called Tony Dow in ages. Does our audience know what Leave It to Beaver is? Is that show so old that half the audience is going, let's Leave It to Beaver?
It could be on TV land.
I mean, I remember it. Beef.
I mean, Tom Mazzaway remembers it, of course. Still watches it.
Tom Mazzaway, by the way, already likes Vin Scully, already follows Vin Scully on Twitter.
Should we call him and find out what his favorite tweets are?
He only has one tweet.
Did Tom like it?
That's a great question.
I bet he did.
How long do you think it took him to pack that out?
Oh, man.
Well, it's even worse than that, Trudy. I'll play this.
Okay.
Tony.
Come on, Tony.
Slow.
He's really nice. I mean, he's always nice.
Is his wife
And he this? Sounds... No, his wife's not so nice. He sounds so much like Wally.
This is Tony. Sorry we missed your call.
Is this kind of generic?
Well, we're not done yet.
Oh, it's a bit.
Okay. What else do we have to say?
Give us a call. I mean, leave a message.
Whatever. Right. Bye.
That's Tony. Hey, Tony, it's Drew, and I was calling, and we just did an interview with Tommy Chong, and we were doing some fact-checking on a little story that Tommy told about George Harrison and yourself and Tommy at a party at, is it Lou?
Lou B. Melvin III.
Lou B. Melvin III's place? Sounded like a great party. But anyway, we're just doing some fact-checking on it and wanted to find out if you could verify a couple things. Thanks, Tony. Well, maybe we'll try you back, or if you see the 248 number in the real short near future.
That's a ring. Love that outgoing message, too. That's a really cool. It's really clever.
Yeah.
Cool as that. See you, Tone.
Tone.
See you, Tone.
Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you. This has been making his debut on social media.
Third person. Wasn't that third person?
Oh, wait. That's Vin Scully.
Nice to be welcomed. I'm delighted to see if I can't serve you in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, shut up. Does he have to always be so fucking nice? Really? I mean, really. Is he always this fucking nice? Is he the kind of guy that's a complete asshole when he's off the microphone?
Do you think anybody's trolling him yet?
Famous date in baseball or a player or a team, and hopefully nothing controversial. This is strictly a meeting of friends having some fun.
Has anybody told him what Twitter really is? It's not a meeting of friends.
What do you want?
About our favorite
haul
subject.
Off and spill the N-word off Mike.
I'm really enjoying this Utah N-word
Who's
game.
Who's that N-word out in the yard there? Jesus Christ.
Pull up a chair.
There's some N-words on my lawn. Yeah, this is really bad.
Be ready to join me, hopefully, in the very near future. As we start our careers,
can you call Maz quickly? Let me see if I can get him.
On social media. I think he thinks it's all one thing, social media. Oh. I believe he has an Instagram and a Facebook page as well.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
Is he doing his tweet with a microphone? And
No, it's just straight on
his broadcaster pipes.
Yeah.
He does sound very friendly, but... Briefly. Is this because he lost his job?
He said he was lonely. He was retired.
So they retired him?
Why did he retire, by the way? He seems like the kind of guy that would be doing it way past when he should be doing it.
I think he passed that point. Maybe
like they'd be almost
ago.
Begging him to leave, and finally they just have to go, Vin Scully's blown out!
Should we call Vin Scully?
We have Vin's number? Maz?
Hello. Hey,
Maz! Miss, how you doing?
Good. What's with the late call?
Well, something really important came up. We're so pumped
about
it. We heard, and maybe you can verify this, we heard that Vin Scully is now on Twitter. He is?
Poor bastard doesn't know what he got himself into.
No. The video clearly said it's a meeting of the minds for friends.
Oh, yeah.
But, Miss, some people are saying that you might be following him already.
Oh, yeah, of course I would follow him.
Do you think it'll be a good follow?
You know what? It's going to be interesting. Probably just to watch
just to look at the comments might be the most fun part about it.
Oh, are there any comments on his
first tweet? It's got a ton of comments.
Oh, really? It's mostly like, oh, this is great, and congratulations.
Get out of here, old man. Oh, wow, that was fun.
Hey, how many followers does he have right now?
Hang on. He has 87,000. Wow, there's that many bored people in the world?
Ridiculous.
Including Mads. At 18,000. When he had 18,000, I joined.
Wow, you were an early adopter.
You liked him before he was cool.
Exactly. I just want you to know that.
Mads, what is going on in the rap with Mads?
The rap with Mads is doing good. Hey, we're back on iTunes.
What? That's huge.
Yeah, I saw that. A bunch of new episodes have been and archived episodes.
Yeah, finally somebody was able to push the right buttons and get everything out there.
Oh, so that was was that just something maybe a failure that it suddenly stopped appearing on?
It was just we didn't have anybody that was willing to do it. Now there's someone willing to do it, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah, are they doing it on a volunteer basis?
We don't have any Zoobs or Brandon. We have no Zoobs, no Brandon.
No, Tom, is someone doing this on a volunteer basis, or are they an employee?
I'm afraid they're. I'm sure it's a volunteer basis at this point.
Is there a lot of volunteering going on at NRM these days?
I think right now is the volunteer stages. Yeah.
Oh my.
Volunteer stages. Yes.
And how you said you had some good advertising prospects for the rap with Mads?
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, I had a couple that I might be turning on to you.
Really? Well, give them a good plug.
I will.
Who are they?
Okay. Well, I'm not going to tell them now.
I would like to volunteer to take this old bird out of her misery.
Okay.
I was going to say you give them a plug and say, hey, you got a great plug on our show.
I'll throw it out there. It's a company I'm working for now, Legacy Insurance.
Legacy Insurance?
Yes, Legacy.
When did you start working for Legacy Insurance?
A few weeks ago. It's a friend of mine, Joe's business. Joe Graham owns it, and he's been asking me for years to come on over and do it. They got a beautiful office for me. I go in, and it's in Harrison Township, and I'm reaching out to some friends and cohorts.
Wait, do you have
they have good homeowners insurance.
Do you have a mahogany desk?
I do. I don't know if it's mahogany, but it's a desk.
Really?
Now, how far of a drive is that for you? Because that is very paramount.
15 minutes, door to door.
15 minutes, perfect.
Wow.
Okay, and we send our best to Legacy Insurance. And
my insurance does not cover PMS.
And what is the?
Here's the kicker, Drew.
Yes.
I can insure you with any company. My job is to find you the best coverage for the cheapest price.
Wait, so you're a broker like Hall Financial?
You're like the internet.
Yes, I'm a broker.
Well, so that means that I can get my car and my home insurance with you?
Yes, absolutely. Matter of fact, you know Kimmy and Dan, Bat Dan, they got married?
Yeah.
They're clients of mine already. I already saved them.
Oh, my God.
They don't know what I saved them yet, but tomorrow I will show them what I saved them, and it's a lot of money.
Wait, but Maz, you said they were clients of yours already.
Yes. In other words.
You mean they're prospects?
They were prospects. They will be clients tomorrow.
Really? Wow, that's a bold statement, Maz. That shows a lot of commitment on the part of Legacy to say that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's how they got the name Legacy.
So Legacy,
forever.
Not only did Legacy employ you, they're going to advertise on your podcast?
Yes, and possibly on the Drew and Mike show.
Oh, my God. Okay, and then what would the other advertiser be?
The other one is a Warren RV.
Warren RV? And
yes,
how did Warren RV come into play?
A friend of Joe's, Joe Graham, introduced me to this gentleman who is a terrific guy. Rogers Lotoff is his name.
Are you saying, is this going to come out that you're working at Warren RV also?
No, I'm not working at Warren RV, but we're going to be handling their insurance as well.
And oh, so, I see.
Oh, interconnected.
Oh, this is, look
now,
at how connected.
It's an RV house. It's, you park your RV there. They have like 150 spots, I think, and it's almost all filled.
This is RV storage?
Yes, RV storage.
Now, can you also have a big RV party there, like everybody barbecues?
Oh, absolutely.
No, it's not.
It's like a tailgate spot.
That's just it.
It's a pretty cool idea, actually.
Yeah.
You know, now, make also, new RV friends.
Have you guys heard of the M1 Concourse out in Pontiac?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, of course. They okay, too. Wait, so. Maz, you're not going to have room for all these advertisers
on
Rap with Maz.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that good things are happening.
Cool. Good things are happening.
Okay, and now who is guesting on the Rap with Maz next?
Tomorrow. That's right. What am I going to do tomorrow?
You'd be so bored.
Let's see how it shakes out tonight. See how many games, how many series are over, and we'll go from there.
Did you watch Game 7 of Utah and Denver?
I did.
Tweet about it and misspell the word nuggets?
I did not. I didn't tweet about it either.
That was a great game, though.
Oh, man. It was low scoring, man. Vegas had that game way wrong. They had like 210 was the over. They barely hit 150.
Is that how you're supplementing your income with good basketball bets?
No, you know I don't bet.
Really? Huh? You seem to align pretty well.
Yeah,
just the Derby.
Oh, that's right. Isn't that happening this weekend?
The Derby. That's right.
Isn't it always the first weekend in September?
Yeah, the first Saturday in September, just like every year.
Now, Maz, do we know that any of the horses that we might be thinking about betting on, none of them will be shot before the race?
God willing, the horse will be safe. You know what? I can't even tweet out a horse tweet without the Drew and Mike fans. Throwing guns in. Every single tweet back is a gun.
What?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It is. Look what you guys have done.
Well, I mean,
truth hurts, man.
There has been some controversy in the field. There's no denying that. There have been some horses sent out to pasture before their time
because they hurt their ankle.
It's safer now, much safer.
It is. Okay,
says
good.
Who? Because you said so.
Because they haven't been running.
Why is it much safer? Are they wearing masks?
No, they've improved the track conditions and making sure the horses are not drugged or doped up.
Thanks
for starting that now.
They really stepped it up.
No, that's awesome. I think that is so nice of these owners not to drug their horses. That's awesome.
It's one of those statements that I doubt. Are you being serious? Have they really made changes?
I'm totally serious. Yes, I'm totally serious.
I don't know. Believe it.
Okay, Maz, I have $100 to bet on the Derby. Who should I put it on?
Well, there's no one's going to beat Tis the Law, but he's going to pay like $3 to win. So if you put $100 on it, you're only going to win $150.
Okay. I like this kind of advice, man. I don't want to get in there just to win $150. I want to win big.
I know. So we got to find you two or three horses to put
behind. What's the next horse?
Yeah, we'll box a few horses. You know whose horse is running through?
Who?
Victor Martinez has a horse in the Derby.
Oh, I bet you it's really slow. He was really slow.
His name is King Guillermo.
Should I bet on him?
Yeah, why not? Put him in the
All right. And do you have a trifecta?
We're looking at money.
Do you have a trifecta picked?
Not yet. I got time. I got till Saturday.
Okay. Are you going to tweet that out at any point?
Absolutely.
Tom, how do you think the horses will be affected by there not being a crowd there?
They're going to enjoy it because obviously they're not going to be jumpy and it's going to be a nice, relaxed atmosphere for them. Not much noise. Horses like that.
Are they still going to wonder why someone's riding them?
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Well, maybe. Wouldn't that be cool, though, if they took those people off their backs and they stopped hitting them and we could see who really wins?
You would think the horses would unionize and say, hey, you got all the fans out of here. Can we get these people off our backs?
I mean, they know a lot more than people think. They get well cards. People send them cards.
I mean, you would think with the horses getting shot, they might want to start a movement like HLM or something.
There's a special you might want to look on demand. It's about American Pharoah's first crop of colts and foals that he has sired.
Boring. That sounds terrible.
I don't know if I'm going to spend a lot. I just don't know if I'm going to direct a lot of time towards that.
Do they show him studding?
People are paying $1 million for these horses. Untested.
Well, no wonder they get so mad at them that they shoot them when they get injured. They pay that much money for them.
That's the great thing about horses, horse racing. If they get injured, you shoot them. If not, then they just inbreed.
God, I hate you.
Murder and inbreeding. Nice sport.
So do Dan and Kimmy have the good news yet?
No, not yet. I wanted to surprise them, but they'll probably know now by the time
I call
them in the morning.
I don't know how early they listen, but they do listen.
They're going to be very happy.
I'm happy for them. It's a young couple.
They need to
definitely save all the money they can.
And they are. It's great. Great people. Huh?
Yeah. They really are. I'm not just saying that.
Maz, if you didn't like them, after selling them this policy, possibly, would you admit not liking them?
Of course not.
Of course not. You're a liar.
But everyone likes
not
Dan Kimmel.
You can't not I'm a liar.
No, I'm not. I'm not a liar.
That's a lie right there.
Oh, I wasn't a liar then.
By the way, I think this is Kimmy right here.
La, 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 la.
Oh, is it?
Is that Kimmy?
I think that's Kimmy. I could be wrong, but well, she'll so we'll verify it.
Well, by the way, did I mention that someone sent me Coach Denk's phone number?
Yeah.
The one who pulled Paula's wrist off his penis?
Yeah, because we found his Facebook page.
Someone sent me his phone number. He's still pumping iron, too. He's in great shape.
Yeah.
Great guy. Anyway, okay, Maz, well, good luck, and I know it's going to be exciting tomorrow. I can't wait for you to give him the great news, and then we'll see what happens.
And we're going to call Vin Scully. We'll tell him you said hi.
Oh, man, I would love that. I still have my Dodger yearbook with his signature.
Okay, love cool. It. We'll tell him. I'm sure he remembers.
You got Vin Scully's signature?
I did, when the Dodgers were here at Comerica.
Did you have to wait in a long line for it?
No, I just stuck in the booth and asked him.
Wait,
did you spend 5 minutes trying to figure out how you're going to get out of this story he's telling you that's taking forever because you want to go do something else?
Yeah, they're really mad at Maz because Vin's telling this hour-long story. The mic's open. The inning has started. Three batters have already made outs.
I once had a friend named Maz.
If a picture's worth 1,000 words, this is worth 1,000,000 words.
Maz, so are you telling me that you used your press pass and then...
No.
Oh.
Jimmy Price Jr. took me up there as a guest.
Who took you?
Jimmy Price Jr.
Jimmy Price Jr.
12-year-old has a lot of pull.
Jim Price, now, does Vin know Jim Price Jr.?
Everyone knows.
Sure, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I got it. How I got it.
Okay. All right, Miss. Have a great one. We'll be listening to the rap.
Hey, it's on iTunes. Put the word out.
I will. It's out. Thanks, Maz.
See you, guys.
Bye, Maz.
See ya.
Great video.
Okay.
Thomas A. Mazaway and that important advice for the Kentucky Derby. I can't believe they're having the Kentucky Derby now.
Money.
Isn't that weird? I know. It makes about as much sense as the Ford fireworks the other night.
It really does. I hope they run every horse race. You know, with the Triple Crown, just run them like 3 straight days. Who cares? They always talk about how those horses need time to recover.
Did you watch the Ford fireworks?
No, unfortunately, I missed them.
It was very sponsor heavy.
Yes,
it seemed like they were making up for 3 of them.
Yeah, at the dentist office yesterday, they're like, "Why would they show the fireworks? What was it?" Because, and I'm just like, I'm like, they've got hands in my mouth, and I'm just like doing the symbol for money,
make it rain
together. Like, oh, that's right, because it's the Ford fireworks. So.
Oh boy!
All right, you ready? Should we try Vin?
We really have Vin's number?
There's 2 numbers. I'm pretty confident.
We have time, though, for Jim.
Can't believe that.
Well, Trudy,
yeah,
we can
Trudy,
just...
this could be a long story.
We
I
could
guarantee
just leave and then come back
him,
tomorrow.
There's
and
no
then...
way you'll not be here at the end of the show if we get Vin Scully.
3-1.
Oh, went straight to voicemail. There's another one.
I want to get to the bottom of this Jim Price Jr. waltzing into the Dodger booth
like he
to
owns
get Maz an autograph.
He owns the place, too. Jimmy Price Jr. Dad's working in the booth. He's wandering around.
I mean, I think it's dubious for Jim Price to even go in the Dodger booth for an autograph.
What's his wife's name? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh.
You know, Gibby invited you to the booth, Trudy.
I know he did. I was invited, though. Joan.
Hello.
Oh, is this Vin?
Yes.
Vin Scully, it's the Drew and Mike Show calling in Detroit.
Well, hi. How are you guys?
Excellent.
How you doing, Vin?
What an honor.
We saw that you were on Twitter. We were so excited.
Well, you're awfully nice to be excited. I'm a bit wary because I'm going to spend any time that I spend on Twitter being as far away from any possible bad stories, bad news, arguments, all of the other things that I've read about. For me, it'll be like sailing into an ocean of sharks, but I'll do the best I can, and we'll see how it develops.
Yeah, I don't want to see Vin Scully get canceled for some goof up on Twitter.
I got you right there.
Hey, we were just talking to a friend of mine, by the way, and he said that he came into the booth at Comerica Park and got your autograph. That's during the game, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, that sure was unprofessional of my friend to go in there and bother you during the game, but you were kind enough to give him an autograph, Vin. That was pretty sweet.
Well, I don't know about sweet, but experience teaches you a lot. And rather than turn somebody down and have him get angry or disappointed, it only took a few seconds to give him the autograph, and then he left. But I've always found that it's much easier to give it, say thank you, and move on, rather than say no, and have the guy say, "Wow, that's great. He couldn't even give me his autograph," you know, and all that stuff. So, yeah, if that's what happened, I'm glad it happened, and I'm delighted it happened that he got the autograph.
Yeah, he knows Jim Price Jr., and I guess Jim Price Jr. pulled some strings.
Ah, could be. I don't know. I don't know the string puller.
Well, Jim Price's dad, he does the Tiger games on the radio.
Oh,
Jim Price, he was a total Tiger catcher. He played catcher in '68. He was a backup behind Freehand.
Freehand.
Oh, my. Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, when I think of Detroit, to be honest, one of the greatest men I ever met, one of my dear friends, was the man that I followed in Ebbets Field and even followed him in the Hall of Fame, and that was Ernie Harwell.
Oh, yeah. Ernie is, there's no one who doesn't love Ernie Harwell. If they don't love Ernie Harwell, I'm worried about him.
Yeah, I agree. Even the brief time that I was with him, I can remember when he went to the Giants, and I don't know how it happened, but several of us wound up in Russ Hodges' kitchen, and Ernie Harwell was leading us in song. And just love you.
He was a dear man. He did like to sing. You know, I'm thinking about this, Vin. You and Ernie Harwell both living to such ripe old ages, and with all that traveling, what is it that keeps you so healthy?
Oh, gee, I don't know. God's been good. That's all I really know. I've also lived a relatively simple life, even though I traveled. I'm not much for going out or staying out late, especially with a game the next day. So I don't really know. As I say, God has been very kind to me, so I have no secrets. I don't know who has.
You didn't go out to have a little stretch there with Drysdale and the gang where you would stay up all night and go to the game?
You know, one thing the players knew, that even if I bumped into one in a restaurant or wherever, a bar, for let's say, to have a drink, they knew that I would never mention it to anybody. Because that's how you keep your confidences. So they knew that, and I wasn't inclined to do it anyway. You know, I wasn't going to say, guess who I saw, you know, at 12 o'clock, because I wouldn't be out there at that hour anyway. So.
Well, see, but Drew, Vin and Ernie are very nice people, too. So maybe being That's nice true. Has helped them live a long time.
Probably have a easy on the heart. Yeah. We could use a little more of that around here.
Stress.
Right, yeah, Vin?
I'm Mr. Low-Key, and I'm very happy to stay that way.
That's why I'm worried about you joining Twitter, Vin.
Exactly. Yeah. What if Vinny... What if you just somebody puts pressure on you, says, "Vin, you got to make something happen on Twitter," and you start putting out some controversial tweets, and the next thing you know, your whole world is spinning around.
No. If somebody says you got to put something out, I'll just say goodbye.
Well, one last thing, Vin, you got to give us your take on this COVID-19 season with baseball. It seems like history has just been thrown out of the window, and they're just trying to get games in.
Well, you know, I tell people, as far as whoever wins, they'll probably want to put an asterisk alongside the championship, but I don't look at it that way. If you are asked to run a 60-yard dash and you win it, then you've won your deserved medal. And if they ask you to run a mile, you run the mile, and if you win, you get a medal. And the medals are both honest. You just ran a different distance. So with me, yeah, it'll be a little jarring. But by the time you put in the playoff games in the World Series, they will have probably played, what, 80 games thereabouts? Mm-hmm. And if you can stick 80 and win, I think it's fine. I think it's remarkable that they have overcome the coronavirus as far as playing within the rules. There was just one or two players, I understand, you know, who went out on the road, whatever they were doing, and because they risked the problem, they were punished, but they're back to playing, I believe. But I just think the players really should have been really saluted. They've done a heck of a job under very scary situations, and all of a sudden these players, whom we like to see play, have become somewhat of inspiration, if you think about it.
Well, the Tigers are a half game out of the playoffs, so I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to take it for whatever it's worth, and hopefully we go a long way this year, Vin.
That would be great. I would remember very well when Ernie was there, and if it so be it that Detroit runs, I'll be right there with them thinking of Ernie.
Well, thank you, Vin. It's great to talk to you. I can't believe you picked up the phone and spent 10 minutes with us. We so appreciate it.
Welcome back.
Yeah. 10? I thought it was just 2 minutes.
Wow.
Good luck with Twitter.
Okay.
We'll be
bless
following.
You both.
Thanks,
stay
Vin.
Well.
God bless.
Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for you,
bye.
Too.
Oh, see you.
Oh my God, what a crazy show.
Brandon.
Brandon got the last one.
It's 8 minutes
Brandon,
and 22.
Damn it! What a nice guy.
Yeah, you can't say that after being mean, but trying to get the
I
last bite. Yeah.
That wasn't mean to Vince.
I take back anything I've ever said about Vin. He's very nice.
I know, he's sweet as hell.
He could not be nicer. I think,
and now I believe that he really joined Twitter because he misses everybody.
That's so hilarious. No, you know, he's got to miss doing the games. I bet you he does.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just bring him in every once in a while?
Yeah.
They could do that.
Because the Dodgers are
they could be a legit
chance to win it all.
He could be at home watching the game going, these goddamn guys don't know a damn thing about this game. This is bullshit.
Just to get a podcast
every night.
Yeah, Vin's gonna start doing a podcast.
Oh my God,
10 hours long.
He could easily pull it off. Oh, Maz is gonna be so jealous.
I already texted him to rub it in.
So did I. So did I.
You did too.
I did. And Maz said, "Hey, B, you got to make sure you ask him about the catch in Buckner in 1986."
No. I was thinking of asking about Rick Monday, but there's so many. I don't know.
That would have been a long story.
Yeah.
But I still kind of, we have to call him back.
So I said to Tom, I said, Tom, we got Vin on the line. Oh my God, you're not shitting. I said, nope, he's on right now. I want on. And he wrote, he already admitted he signed your program to get rid of you. Not joking. And you're like, that's bull.
Not only that, he didn't seem to know who Jim Price was.
No idea.
Jim Price.
Remembers Ernie.
Remember Bill Free.
What the fuck is that?
Like, you know, the great thing about him is that if he didn't know who
Jim
he
Price
was.
Junior, a 12-year-old brought him into the. Ooh, what the hell?
Was that around, man, being guarded around by a 12-year-old boy.
You would never know it because he's so smooth.
He is so smooth. But you know what? Ernie Harwell actually has more edge than Vin Scully.
Yeah.
If there's such a thing as possible.
He's great. God,
yeah, Ernie. I love Ernie.
Remember his joke about Lulu? Put my feet up for vacuum. What was that joke?
I don't remember exactly.
Right after he retired.
He was really quick, though. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe Tommy Chong. I can't believe how sharp he is. And Vin Scully at his age.
Should we try Tony Dow back? We're on fire.
Why not?
You are long gone.
I mean, come on. Just name any random person. We'll probably get him on.
Would Tony Dow verify that story? There's no way Tony Dow couldn't remember that. George Harrison and Tony and Tommy Chong.
I'm calling Dow back. I'm very cocky and confident right now.
I'm so impressed that George Harrison is buddies with Tommy Chong. I think that's so cool.
Well,
I mean, it makes George sound cool.
Was buddies.
I'm sure Dow checked that message and he was like, holy shit, I gotta call this guy's back.
His wife probably.
Well, he knows it's true. He's like, holy shit, who's this guy?
Well, maybe right now his wife's going, what is this story, Tony? You never told me that.
What's this party? What are you doing with George Harrison?
Where was I?
Sounds like you have a lot of girls around. Why Where is Shelby?
Why am I hearing about this on the answering machine?
Hello?
Hi, is Tony there?
He is, but we just got back and he's got a horrible headache.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And we got your message. Oh, okay. And that is so funny.
does Tony know what I'm talking about? He probably does.
And I remember it probably even better because I have a better memory.
Really?
Okay, I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't mean to destroy the image because it is pretty good, but so we were at these people, Barbara and Louis Marvin, here in Topanga, and we're just sitting around, and the door opens, and in walks Tommy Chong, and he's smoking a joint.
Of course he is.
He's passing it around, and basically, I don't even know if, okay, let's just say Tony took a hit. So then shortly thereafter, in some magazine, we read the story. Okay. And it's very funny because it was that Tommy Chong, John Lennon, and Tony Dow were getting high together. Then you say, now it's George Harrison.
Yeah, and Tommy. Tommy said it was George Harrison and that Tony, and he said John Lennon was, I believe he said John was in the room, sitting on the floor by a bed.
And he did confirm that it was Lou Marvin's, the third's home.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wanted detail about Lou Marvin.
I mean, I can't imagine that I wouldn't know that John Lennon is sitting on the floor.
Yeah, it seems like you would. And George Harrison, do you remember that part at all?
Could it have been a two different party?
No. It was John Lennon all the way.
Oh, boy.
Really?
So tell me something. Drew is your name?
Yeah. It's actually the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. And we had a long conversation with Tommy Chong. And Tommy went on and on about this guy's residence and this property he bought. And then he said, he just happened to mention that he saw George Harrison there, and they were smoking a joint, and somehow the joint got passed to Tony Dow.
Well, it's sort of two-thirds true.
Yeah, but it's funny.
Are you on the air now?
No, we're just recording a podcast. Is that a problem?
Well, is it a problem?
Yeah.
Are we in trouble?
No.
Oh, good.
No,
it's a great story. It's a beautiful story. But it's funny that he wants to put Tony in the story with George Harrison, because we know Tommy knows George Harrison because George played on Basketball Jones.
Hmm.
And he knew Ringo. He partied with Ringo. He just wants Tony to be in that story in the worst way.
Well, Tony is in the story, and he really appreciates that he is.
Well, tell Tony.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry, he's under the weather at the moment.
That's well, tell him we hope he's feeling better, and you're so nice to tell your version of the story.
Oh, yeah, sure. And there will be more versions.
And did you take a hit off the joint? Can you verify or say that you did not?
No. Oh. I did.
Oh. You did, okay.
Oh. Of course.
Of course.
I mean, maybe that'll help.
Sure.
Maybe that'll help Tony's headache right now.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
I don't think so. You know, it's interesting. He never really was into getting high.
Hmm.
I don't know why, but it's not as though it wasn't everywhere. And I'm not talking anything major, but and now that it's legal, I never get high.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's funny. It doesn't hold quite the same appeal.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, it seems
so
to be.
You guys are sweet, and why don't you call back again sometime?
We will.
Great.
Come
We'd
up
love
with
to
some
talk.
More stories.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
All right.
Nice talking
you guys
to you.
Take care.
Hi, Mrs. Bye-bye. Dow.
Bye.
You can call me Lauren.
Hello, Lauren.
Okay. Bye, thank you, Lauren.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Wow.
Bye. See ya.
Okay. Well, we got as close to Tony Dow as you can get.
I got to say, come on.
Brandon!
Can we just try somebody else?
Let's see.
Three for three is
like
ridiculous.
Striking like lightning here.
Seriously,
who else is just totally random?
I'm trying to think who else we struggled with
that we know the number works.
We don't have Chet Hanks' number. We have Ron Jeremy's number. He's in the news.
Yes,
he's in prison.
Paulina Poroskova was in the news again today.
Ooh. Oh, it's her Paulina Porcel.
Is she nude again?
No, there's a picture of her clutching something of Rick Ocasek's as she was cleaning out his stuff.
Just reminds you. Like, I can't wait to sell this.
Exactly.
eBay.
Brandon knew. You knew where I
was. God, there was so much news today. See, Paris Hilton said five ex-boyfriends beat her up.
Sure.
Oh, she's adding to the story now because the original wasn't.
I know.
Yeah. You know, the only people interested in that documentary because nobody is.
The only one she mentioned by name is who's the guy in One Night in Paris? Rick
Salomon.
Rick Salomon. Yeah. Where is Rick Salomon, by the way?
Someone.
I know he is.
If he's not in someone, he's back in line for Pam.
Yes. I mean, he did pretty well for himself.
Yeah.
What happened to him, though?
That's a great question.
Idea.
I mean, what do you think we'd have heard something of him? Like, where is Rick Salomon now?
He's a poker player? That's what he does?
That
makes
sense.
Perfect.
That sounds totally right.
He can't
claim... How does this guy nail so many famous people?
I know.
Too? I mean,
what it was.
Elizabeth
he was
Bailey,
like
Shannon
crazy.
Doherty, Pamela Anderson. Wow. Yeah.
He had Shando?
Yeah.
Yep.
They were married.
Oh, they weren't... He was married to Shando?
What?
Yeah, for a year.
Whoa.
That's what it says.
Well, what happened to Ashley Hamilton?
I'm sorry, 9 months they were in for.
Oh.
He's not
and
the one
to
that...
think that this dude used to buff Pamela Anderson.
He's not the one that she wanted to see raped on the front lawn.
Sodomized.
Oh, no, that was George Harrison's kid. Or, no, George
Hamilton's
kid. Yeah.
Yeah, she's married to him for, like, what, a couple weeks?
Yeah. How's she doing?
I know. That's a good question.
That's a sad story.
Yeah. You know, Detroit
calling her?
Who's our friend from Detroit 187?
Aaron.
So cute.
Cummings.
Aaron Cummings.
Right.
How's Aaron doing? I think she's.
I don't know. Should we call her?
I know. I was thinking about that. I think she's okay now. That would be a long conversation, though. Maybe we should call her tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think it's time to go. I think Trudy's getting antsy.
No, I'm fine.
I blame
you. I'm cool.
You have to drive home now.
I know.
It was kind of nice to be home, wasn't it?
No. Not as much as you'd think.
I know. It's not. It's really hard.
Yeah.
It's just not the same.
It's frustrating because you just can't relax. And I don't know. It's not
I
cool.
Agree.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, Brandon.
All right. Yeah. Get us out of here. All right. And we'll. Maybe we need to. You know.
I did find a number for Shannon Doherty, by the way. Just saying. Just
wait. Wait. You found a number for her?
Yeah.
Why would we be calling Shannon Doherty?
Yeah, because of the fires. Well. Remember, her house was.
Well, I see how she's doing.
Something on fire, and now there are fires again.
Isn't she really, really sick?
She's sick.
Yeah, I don't want.
Yeah,
to.
I
don't want. To
go. I'll sleep on that one. Might seem more. Might make more sense tomorrow. I do want to call Erin though. She was real sweet to us. She still got her charity here too. I think
the mittens thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was really sick. I guess.
Oh.
I mean, she was really sick.
What?
Yeah, she had cancer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
breast. I don't.
I don't recall exactly.
Yeah, breast. It was breast cancer. Yeah.
But I think she's back up and you know, although that's pretty tough when you're knocked out of action like that, and all of a sudden it's COVID. But you know.
You know. Well, I think she is doing better because you know, she's got some credits coming up. She's got a
King
Richard film that's coming out next year, and she's also been on Lucifer.
Oh, right.
What? She got married. Did you know she got married? I didn't know she got married.
Who'd she marry?
Some guy named Tom.
Oh, it's totally bogue.
Tom Dignan.
She's meant
actor.
To be single.
We should call Michael Imperioli. We have his phone number to ask him how she's doing. Because they're both on Detroit 187.
That's a great excuse to call Michael Imperioli. By the way, somebody told me they were rewatching The Sopranos, and I thought, you know, that sounds like a good idea during COVID.
Oh,
that's such
yes.
a great show. I could watch
it.
Hey,
I should do it because I've never seen it.
Oh, that's such a great series.
Well, I wish I could say I'd never seen The Sopranos because that would be so awesome to eat up like the next month watching The Sopranos. Wouldn't that be great if you've never seen it?
Yeah.
You're really lucky, Brandon. You have no idea.
Can't wait.
Okay. Well, tomorrow we'll wrap up the week for you. In the meantime, remember the Drew and Mike store is open, and I pointed out all those great things Elric's got up there, like the, what are those things for your...
Gators.
Gators, yeah, it's not a mask. And he's got the keychains with room 70609 and on and on
I'd
and
like
on.
To
he's
point
got a new
out,
show with Devin Skillian.
I'd like to point out the three guests we had, the three big guests, not Tom. Total age of 250.
Oh, well.
Wow.